Let's go live. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And yeehaw, Brendan Schaub.
What's up, dog?
Did you buy those shoes yourself?
Yeah, I bought these. Just wanted a little to too much flair for you. Whew. It's summer, bro.
Confident move. Like, you got the tight pants around the ankles.
Yeah.
Just riding high enough to see the Gucci shoes.
Yeah.
I get it,
Gucci
bro.
Denim, bro.
I get it.
What's up, bro?
It. It works. It works. You can pull it off.
You're making fun of me. I go, yeah. I always say, like, yeah, I bet your girls like these. You're like, yeah, girls also like dick, though, man. Good point. Legit point, sir.
It's true. It's true.
It's so true.
Dude, how about these fights?
Let's get into it. Oh, my God. How about these fights? How about I almost didn't see them, and I text you during the broadcast. The ESPN Plus thing was a nightmare, man.
Yeah, they had some hiccups. Yeah.
That'd be an understatement.
Yeah. That has happened before, right? With digital stuff.
In 2019, though, especially with ESPN, though, that's where I was just shocked. And me being like a super fan, I had to figure it out. But you know how I had to figure it out? Because it didn't work on any platform. So, and it's a hiccup where you couldn't order it off the app. So you had to close the app, order it from a desktop, then shut down something, then go to your TV. It was a nightmare. Whew. But that didn't work for me. And then I was like, all right. And then I slowly was missing the first fight. I'm like, man, I got to figure stuff out. And then I tweeted out I was having problems. And 2,000 savages sent me links to legal streams.
Legal or illegal?
Illegal.
Illegal. But of course, you didn't watch those illegal streams.
I didn't, Joe. And I'm glad you pointed out I did not. But if I were going to.
Would it be awesome?
It was awesome
was
and
it
clear.
HD?
It was HD and had zero problems. Well, if I was going to.
I'm glad you didn't because they could track you, that face recognition software.
They could definitely track me. It's a huge problem.
Well, it was definitely a huge problem for the first event. I don't know how many people downloaded it and did it, but I bet they probably didn't see the number coming. It was a big fight. I mean, those two fights were huge. I mean, first of all, something happened, I think, within the last year or so for Max Holloway, where like when Max Holloway's face goes up on the screen,
people
go nuts.
Because they know he throws down.
Yeah, I think it was the Ortega fight. I really think that Ortega fight made him a superstar. I really do.
The Aldo ones definitely helped them.
For sure they
did. The back-to-back Aldo ass whoopings and then the Ortega one.
The thing that was different, though, is Ortega had a big following. Ortega was the young, beautiful
lion
with fantastic jiu-jitsu, handsome guy, cool, smooth talker,
correct,
looks like a champion,
yep,
fucking everybody up. So he had a lot of fans coming in there, and they went to war. They went to war. And Max came out on top, and I think Max, a lot of those people, and because they were so cool with each other during, before, and after.
People loved it.
Dude, Max is he loses better than anyone on the fucking planet. Loses or wins. He just goes, hey, I'm just going to get better.
He doesn't lose a lot.
He doesn't.
No.
I mean, he lost to Connor. He lost
Connor
to Dustin
young,
in his very first fight ever. You know,
but
he's 20 years old.
But I also think Max is – because we've always said – I think both of us have been in agreement where if a guy is cutting a ton of weight and killing himself, go to the next weight class. I've always said that, whether it was Darren Till, whether, you know, Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold, John Jones, like, dude, go up a weight class, dominate. And then this is kind of the first time we've seen a guy where it's like, it's not that easy. Because Max Holloway went up, but you could see the power wasn't there. Like, he might have, he landed more than Dustin Poirier. But when Dustin landed, you could see that it fucking counted.
Dustin is big, dude. He's big.
Remember, he used to fight at 45, though.
He used to fight at 45 and it really struggled there. But at 55, he's found a spot. And you look at him, he almost looks like a welterweight. I mean, he's big. He looks like Tyron Woodley size. And he cuts a shitload of weight.
And Max Holloway in that fight just looked like they didn't look like the same.
No.
Just Poirier, like, fucking meaty.
Well,
man.
And you got to give credit to Poirier, too, because if you look at the two of them, like, after the fight, there was a big difference between the amount of damage that Poirier landed. Big difference. He was hitting him with big shots. And it wasn't just big shots. It was shots, period. He was hitting him with really clean, well-timed shots, with great head movement, great movement.
How about that knee?
Dude, everything, man.
Split open his head,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, everything. He did everything great. I mean, he really that was a coming out party for Dustin Poirier in a lot of ways.
For the common fan.
Well, yeah. Well, the people that knew him from the Gaethje fight, knew him from the Eddie Alvarez fight, they knew that, man, he beat these two really good guys, but Max Holloway might be one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, and I think is.
I think Max Holloway's the greatest 145er of all time.
Yes.
I think he's a damn good 55er. But 55 could be tough for Max.
Well, this is a great example of what we've always said about the differences between the size of people. And correct. This is it's first of all, I mean, all credit to Dustin Poirier because he put on a phenomenal performance. He got tested in that fight. He came through. He even talked about in the post fight interview that he got hurt in the third round. He came through and just super impressive.
Think about his striking. Wins.
Yeah, man.
Anthony Pettis, world champion. Mm-hmm. Gaethje, world champion. Mm-hmm. Eddie Alvarez, world champion. Max Holloway, world champion.
The Pettis one, though, wasn't that an injury? I feel like Pettis got injured and they stopped the fight. Like, did he break his hand? Is that what happened?
No.
I feel like the Pettis one was an injury.
He had the issues with Eddie Alvarez, right? Which was a no contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, there was one fight where Dustin Poirier I think that was it. There was one fight with Pettis where Pettis broke his hand and Duke Rufus stopped the fight. Remember that?
Tony Ferguson.
Was it Tony Ferguson?
That's Tony Ferguson.
Right, you're right. But I think
that was a great round.
Maybe it was an injury. Oh, it was a rib, remember?
Oh, it was a rib, that's right.
That's right. Dustin got on top of him and hurt his rib.
That's right. But still, look at Poirier's wins, man.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird one too, right? It's because like what was that rib injury from a Poirier body shot?
Yeah.
What was that from? Or is it from the takedown? Like, what was it? Something happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember. That's right.
But so either, but
that's
Poirier's,
more like a TKO.
Yeah, you look at Poirier's his list, man. The guys who's fought and who's lost to, it's so impressive.
Yeah.
And Poirier's the guy, same thing with when Michael Bisping won. I always root for those guys. Those guys who've been around forever and they fight the best of the best. They might lose one or two here, but they've been around for so long. You just hope there's a title at the end of their career.
Yeah.
You just hope. And it sometimes doesn't look like it's going to happen. Then when it does happen, I'm just so happy for those guys.
He's such a good guy, too. Dustin Poirier.
Great guy.
He's a great guy. He's smart. He's ambitious.
Theo Von's favorite fighter.
He works hard. Dude, how hilarious is that, seeing those two guys together?
That was hilarious.
He's calling them the Rat King.
They both
King,
went to the same homeschool. How about Theo was yelling instructions? I see him tomorrow, King of Sting. I'm going to roast the shit out of him.
Did you see him?
Take him down! I went, what is happening right now? Why does this happen?
That?
Yeah. But shouting instructions.
Hear. Luckily, the UFC provides me with headphones.
I was hoping you would have turned around like, dude, what are you doing?
I love Theo. He's the best.
He's the best.
Such a character.
Unique kid.
He was so happy. He was so happy.
Me and him bet. Well, I just bet because obviously him and...
You thought that... What did you think?
I thought it was going to be a great fight. I thought Max at 55, everything was going to carry with him. I thought Max would probably get it done, but I knew it was going to be a good fight. I was just betting Theo because Theo is boys with Dustin. Right. They're from the same area. So it was just a friendly bet. I would never bet against Dustin Poirier. Look at these fools.
Hilarious. That's amazing.
How about Theo? Theo's never been in a fight before, and he texts me halfway through, goes, dude, I can't believe you did this shit. I go, maybe a little respect now around King of the Sting, all right? Maybe a little fucking respect, bro.
Yeah, he was looking at it as a complete outsider. Yes. He had no idea.
I told him, I said, super intense, man. You're seeing four of the best fighters on planet Earth.
Yeah.
You're seeing the very, very best.
Shootouts, man. The Kelvin Gastelum Stylebender fight was a shootout.
Best title fight for me I've ever watched. Ever.
It's one of the best fights of all time.
Has to be.
It has to be. And when you see Stylebender get rocked in the first round and dropped, you're like, holy shit.
I think it's the best thing for that happened to him.
It's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing. For career-wise and going forward, it's a good thing he faced a little adversity. We see that he's not going to get hit and crumble.
Mm-hmm.
You got one. You got a special dude in Stylebender. And how good is Kelvin?
God damn, he's tough.
How fast are his fucking hands?
Tough. He's so fucking tough. And even after all that, I mean, Stylebender was teeing off on him in that fifth round. And Kelvin is finding a way to survive.
I'm like, he has a great
this
chin.
This is incredible.
Stylebender's face looked like he was allergic to shellfish. Did you see his face? look at his face halfway through the fourth round. What the fuck is happening right now, man?
He was in a war. Kelvin hit him with some bombs, man.
Yeah. I think it's good we saw Asanya get hit, get knocked down. We saw him get taken down. We saw what happens when he's off his back. Look pretty fucking good. His triangle, his transitions.
He had him locked up in a triangle.
Who knows what the fuck would have happened if that was early in the fight and they were dry. So I think he, that fight for Staubender checked all the boxes. But also, what's great about this is Kelvin's stock doesn't go down.
No.
If anything, like I'd watch that guy fight whenever.
Whenever. And let's be honest, he's really a welterweight.
Correct. He's super small for
if 85. Darren Till can make 170 pounds, so can Kelvin.
It's a discipline thing, yes.
I just think there should be more weight classes. I don't even think it's. I don't think he's a.
Talk to your boy Dana, man.
He doesn't want to listen to me.
65. You could text him.
No one listens to me. And I don't want him to.
Really?
Yeah.
I do.
I'd rather just stay out here and talk about it.
Yeah,
I
want to
be involved.
But what happens
I've pushed it. I've said I think there should be a weight class every time. I'm like, get out of here.
We could like dangle the carrot and be like, yo, we'll do a fight campaign every time a 165er fights and just dangle that carrot.
Yeah.
He probably still wouldn't do it.
Probably still wouldn't do it. It's one of those things where like I think they'd like it the way it is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense because if you're going to do all these interim belts, why not do 65?
I think they
belts
think
on belts
they,
on belts.
Do you think they would think that it's watered down? They have too many weight classes? That people would just be jumping back and forth from weight class, which they would be.
Talking about chaos, which I love.
But you would also have people that find a weight class where they could be at their best versus either have to bulk up or have to drop too much weight and compromise yourself.
But
it's a happy medium for a lot of guys that are not – they're not hitting that happy medium right now.
We're not getting their best performance. But here's the thing about – so if Kelvin should be a 170er, Stylebender's a small 85er.
Yes.
He weighed in at 183.
Yep.
He weighed under the weight limit.
So, well, you look at how big some of these guys are.
Oh, my God.
You see Brandon Davis?
Dude, they're
the kid that fights
huge.
At 35? He was 160? Yeah.
Dude.
There was Brandon Davis, right? Was that who said that?
Well, some of those 85ers, like you look at Jacare, you look at Yoel Romero.
Yoel Romero's a gigantic dude. He looks like a heavyweight.
I mean, it's going to happen. Think about Yoel Romero stopping. Like, Yoel Romero's jacked, dude.
Yeah, it's a big fella.
Like, Stylebender could probably make 170 easier than fucking 85. I mean, 85's a big weight class.
Yeah.
That's why, have you seen the talk? It makes no sense. Stylebender and John Jones.
That's crazy.
What are we doing? Who the fuck's picking up on
that? That's just because they're talking shit. Yeah, what do you?
I can't find, I'm not seeing anything.
Just the last card.
It just says, he ballooned back up to 160 pounds.
Yeah. It was Brandon Davis, right?
Mm-hmm. From 35.
He's really talented. It's crazy when I'm standing next to him that this guy weighed in at 35 because I'm looking at him. He looked all of 165 pounds. I was like, he's 5'10". He looks so big for that 135-pound weight class. I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, even Max at 45 is fucking huge.
But the UFC Performance Institute gave him the green light to do that.
Wow.
So they must have known what they were doing. Says David's fight with Costa was a first in the bantamweight division. Said he needed to make serious sacrifices to get there. He said he cut out drinking alcohol.
Damn. Shit.
And ran 20 miles per day.
Oh, it's a terrible idea.
In order to make the weight. By the time he stepped in the octagon at 236, he had ballooned back to
160
pounds.
Let me see this dude.
He's really big, man.
He must be huge.
But the thing is, at the he was also, he was not just like tall, he's thick. Like you can, it's weird how you can lose that much weight.
But why not just fight at 45? Why kill yourself? Like why? 20
miles a day?
Well, he did
fight at 45. He fought Zabit in his last fight.
Well,
yeah, Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Zabit got him in that crazy armbar from the back.
Yeah,
or
I remember that.
Leg lock from the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is so nasty. From
filthy
back mount. Filthy. That's nasty.
There's two that night.
Oof! I know, it's crazy. That's a crazy move, right?
Crazy. But when I think of 185ers, think of Luke Rockhold.
Mm-hmm.
He's huge, man.
Yeah.
It's a big ass.
He's huge.
But then Whitaker's not like freakishly big.
I think Luke's done with 85.
Yeah, he's at 205 now.
Is it 100% or is
he
just going to
do it for 100%. One fight? No, it's 100%. He has a fight lined up already.
But, is he going to stay there or is he just doing it for one fight?
Pretty sure he's staying there.
Probably a good idea, man.
But then you look at Whitaker, who's at 85. He's not huge. He's stocky, but he's not like huge.
He's like the perfect size, Whitaker, because he still can knock out anybody, but he's got awesome cardio and pace.
He's strong, too.
He's strong. I mean, he's not as strong as Yoel Romero, but he's strong enough to hold him off. No one is.
Who is?
No one is.
Guy's a freak.
You
got
to get that Cuban gene pool to get that.
God, there's, dog.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain gene pools, like that fucking mountain from Game of Thrones. There's some gene pools out there, man.
Well, and then when he's throwing steroids in that pool, you get a freak.
Oh, you do throw steroids in that pool,
Did you see he admitted to it?
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Yeah.
How? Yeah.
He was like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
And then when they kept asking about it, they go, are you currently taking? He goes, listen, I don't really want to talk about this. It's like, yeah, no, of course I am.
Why are they asking questions like that?
I know. It's the strongest man contest. But think about, come on.
Yeah. What, dude? Who's going to win?
Yeah, who gives a fuck? How about Stylebender versus Whitaker?
Yeah,
the all oceanic fight. Are you really gonna fly to Australia for that pay per view?
Thinking about it,
dude. There ain't two dudes on this planet that get me to fly to Australia.
Two?
There's not no dudes
Wouldn't
on this planet.
Be there live though?
No, something Joe. I'd rather be epic. Here. I'd rather be here. Dun. You're crazy. I love Australia, but now if Rihanna was like, "Yo, dude, get to Australia," I'm like, "I'm on my way." Say no more, fam.
No,
but not two dudes.
Yeah, but that fight. Dude, I want to see that fight in the flesh.
Live? You're going to do it?
I think I might. I want to see how that goes down.
That's
I want
a
to
great
see.
Fight.
Whitaker is a fucking animal, man. Just think about how much pain that injuries. Guy had to be in to an almost fight with a hernia and a ruptured... He had a ruptured rectum, right?
Was it a ruptured rectum? I thought it was just a hernia. I think his rectum's fine.
No, no. I think he had two major injuries.
No, I know his intestines were popping through.
Yeah, but I think it was another one.
Damn, his rectum was fucked up too?
Yeah. So isn't that, didn't he have a tear?
Is that called a
Jamie will find
hemorrhoid?
It. No, like a tear.
In his ass?
Well, you know, you think about the fucking strain from sparring. Just think about getting taken down while you're trying to throw a kick. You land fucked up on your hip.
Never rip my asshole.
You can rip your asshole.
I'm just saying,
catch
I never
a
have.
Kick. You catch a kick in the asshole. Ass. Yeah, easily,
for
dude.
For sure. People lose eyes.
How about someone misses a spinning back kick low and it just catches your taint?
Oh, man.
Just the heel hits your taint, rips your taint away from the bone. That shit happens.
I wonder what... I don't know what the odds would be. I would assume Whitaker's a slight favorite in that fight.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say, you know...
Based off what Kelvin did?
Well, based off what Kelvin did, based off Whitaker's two fights with Yoel, he's been the only guy to hold Yoel off.
Jesus
Although
Christ.
I have said that I did think that Yoel won the second fight.
Interesting.
I think by the new scoring, Yoel had him rocked and hurt. By the new scoring, I felt like it should have been worth more.
You thought it should have been a 10-8?
Yeah, I mean, he had him almost out.
Hurt.
He had him staggered. We didn't see him do that to Yoel. But he did survive.
He won more rounds and survived.
He survived. He won more rounds. It's like how much
of
those
a draw.
If you're watching a fight, if a fight is a fight, I understand it's a sport, but it's a sport of fighting. If you're watching a fight and one guy is really fucking a guy up and the other guy never does that, who do you think won that fight?
Do you think the guy that moved?
You're right, you can't.
Yeah.
But do you think the guy that just moves around and touches him with the jab, and I'm not saying this what Whitaker did, but just as a what if. If a guy's just moving around for four rounds and he's touching you with the jab and leg kicking you and shutting you out.
Like fighting in the street?
But then in the fifth round, you knock him down four times. You beat the fuck out of him. And he's running away from you. His nose gets bloodied. You end the fight with your hand raised without a mark on your face, and the other guy's face is pizza.
Maybe. I'd look at my boys like, damn, for that first 20, that boy was moving.
Right. It's a good question. It's because like what? How much is that round worth?
As a sport, though, yeah, right. That's what it is.
Because as a sport, yeah, you have to judge it as cumulative.
Yeah,
if you're going to judge it on a scorecard, you have to. It has to be cumulative. The question is like, how much is it worth for a guy to really take it to a guy and almost stop him?
See, I think there should be more draws. I don't have a problem with the draw.
I don't have a problem with
draw. Like with
either.
That fight, if there was a draw, I'm like, that makes sense. Redo it. Let's get a clear cut winner.
I think when a person gets really rocked like that, it's worth more than a point. I think it's worth more than 2 points. I think it's worth a lot.
You think it should be like 10-7 rounds?
I think it's a big deal.
God, then you're fucked, dude.
You're fucked, but you are fucked. In real life, you're
because
fucked.
Because of a ref. Well, no.
In real life, you're kind of fucked, right? Like the idea that you could go through a round, you don't know who won, right? A round where it's like a lot of feeling out, a lot of touching, you know, the this and the that. And, you know, okay, perfect example. First round, Anderson Silva versus Stylebender.
Yeah.
Okay? You could give it to Stylebender for sure, but it was a round where they were feeling each other out. There was not one big moment where, oh my God, Stylebender's taken over. This fight is almost done. So that's 10-9. But yet another fight where a guy beats the shit out of a guy and doesn't drop him, and they have exchanges, but the guy gets rocked and hurt. Is that 10-9 too?
I know, it's weird.
What if he head kicks him and drops him and the guy barely survives? He hammer fists him at the end of the bell. Is it 10-9?
I know.
In the old system, it is. But what is it in the new system? Is it 10-8? But if it's 10-8, I think it should be more than 10-8. Like, that guy almost went out.
But the only thing is, you're fucked. Let's say you do a 10-6 or 10-7.
Right.
Then you get dropped. It's going to be tough. You got to get a finish.
Here's the argument against what I'm saying. Here's the argument against it. Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard. Especially the first one, right? Gray Maynard drops him, has him badly hurt in the first round. Frankie manages to survive and come back and win enough rounds and win the fight.
That's the exception, though.
But it is the exception.
Well, it's kind of like
if you gave him like 5 points for that round.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like with Roundtree and Eric Anders.
Dude.
How the fuck were people scoring those rounds 10-9?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What the fuck are you doing?
That's a perfect example.
What are you doing?
That's a perfect
example. How is that a 10-9?
Dude.
That wasn't a competitive fight.
How good does Roundtree look? How good?
Dude, oh, you said something on the Bronx Media Life said someone's booking a trip to Macau.
Everyone's right
every
now.
Fighter's like, where the fuck
world.
Was he at?
They're making fucking plane trips to Phuket.
My only thing Jesus is with that Christ, is man. What's the grappling like out there?
Hey man, I don't know, man, but get somebody to help him. Get somebody. That motherfucker, he throws
some
of the nastiest inside leg kicks and so fast. And he was total Thai style. I wish I could lift my arms up. He's got my shoulders hurt.
You could tell he was just in it.
Total Thai style.
But he was
feeling it. With a light front leg. Dude, his timing, his speed was off the charts.
He fucked his leg up. I hope Eric Anders posted a picture today about it. But
how tough? First of all, how fucking tough is Eric Anders?
His coaches, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is not a title fight.
Right.
There's nothing really on the line here. It's just not his day.
They couldn't ask
you didn't
him
game
to quit.
Plan for
they
a
couldn't
fucking
ask him to quit. They just wouldn't ask him to quit. He's so fucking
coaches
tough.
Have he's so tough. Crimson Tide alumni monster.
Did you hear what John Anik said? What
did he say?
He said he goes he loves when he fights because then Bruce Buffer has to say your boy.
Oh really?
That's his nickname,
hilarious.
Is your boy Anders?
That's hilarious.
Dude, he's
what
a bad motherfucker.
Your boy?
He's a bad motherfucker because that guy does not have a long history of mixed martial arts like a lot of these
athletic,
guys.
Athletic man, way more athletic than the rest
than a lot of them. But look, Khalil's athletic as fuck too, man.
You know he used to be 320 pounds.
Yeah, he was huge.
Have you met him? Great
photos.
Guy.
He seems
great
like
guy.
A great guy.
Used to train with him. Monster.
I'm just I was impressed when he knocked out Gokhan Saki. And then I know he lost to Johnny Walker, who's just a beast.
I don't know what to make of Johnny Walker yet.
Ooh, he's scary.
I'm on the train, but I'm kind of like,
I'm on.
Where are we at?
Fucking toot-toot.
I'm on me too.
I'm pulling
and I'm
horn.
On the back like, let's Johnny go, Johnny.
He's a bad motherfucker, dude. He's something special. He's something special.
I'm not.
I hope he didn't hurt his fucking shoulder when he fell.
I know.
When he did that worm thing.
I hope.
I hope he didn't really hurt himself. Because if he really hurt himself and they can't fix that, that would be a damn shame if the way he got injured is falling down playing around after a spectacular victory.
I thought he came out and said he was fine, though. His man said he's fine.
He would say that. I would say that, too.
Yeah, me too.
You got to tell everybody you're fine. We'll fix this. We'll fix
this. He does look like a
freak,
though.
He's a freak, dude. He has crazy power. Crazy power.
He's scary.
And he caught Khalil with an elbow with one of those up. When those elbows were your hands up high, you know, like Thai
clinch.
Style, in the clinch. But it was beautiful.
Flatlined him.
It was, but the way he did it, though, like the technique. Look, anybody gets flatlined with that fucking elbow.
Anybody.
That guy hits hard.
But how about that's the fight? That was the reason why Khalil went to Thailand.
Yes, that's
like,
what I was going to say.
This noise.
It's beautiful. And now he's all in. He's like, he's moving there. He's going to move his family there. He's going to do all his
camps
out
so there. Intense.
It's so intense. But when you have results like that, like, I love it. I love a story like that.
I love a story like that till a grappler comes around and goes, Muay Thai, that's cool. Thailand, riding elephants and shit. Check this out.
Yeah, but doesn't
that's
like
what I'm worried about.
Phuket Top Team and a lot of those places out there, and AKA Mike Squick's place, they must have wrestling.
I'm
Mike
sure,
Swick
right?
Came out of AKA, American Kickboxing Academy.
But Mike Squick wasn't exactly a wrestler.
Well, he...
But he knows
was
the deal.
Always with wrestlers,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he knew how to wrestle. Swick could do everything.
Yeah, it's
you
true.
Know?
And he's been the game.
He was
I'm
a
sure
bad
they got it.
Motherfucker.
But is that where he's at, AKA, out there?
Yeah, he's got his place out
but
there.
But now I'm saying, is that where Khalil's at?
I do not know where
I think
Khalil's
he's
at
straight kicking bamboo.
I think he's doing the real
Lionheart
deal.
Style.
Yeah.
No, drinking coconuts. Hanging out with ladyboys.
Go to his, see if you can go to Khalil Roundtree Jr.'s Instagram page. Because he posted thanks after the fight.
There's a lot of people doing it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are going to Thailand. I think there's something to it, man. Learning in the motherland with those dudes, you know, watching those guys work out and train, and just to be in that environment.
It's like, good for the soul.
You know what it would be like?
He's the nicest guy, Joe. the nicest guy.
Yeah, that's there. Khalil's Instagram. That's me and him and his crew.
You know, he used to work at like an MMA warehouse and sell shirts when he was 300 pounds and was like, dude, I want to fight.
That's crazy. See if there's a thing. Go to the back to the oh, that's it right there. Sorry, go back to that one. This here there, it says Teddy Bear Peachy Indie Boxing. See that? Click on that. That's the dude. I think that's the gym.
So he's with...
Or that's one of his friends. One championship. See, that's him. He's training with him right there.
That's the gym there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I'm thinking. See, I want to... Damn, that dude is in shape. I want to see...
It's a, listen, you want Khalil Roundtree Jr. kicking you, you're probably better off in that shape.
You'd be fucking... Yeah, you gotta be shaped like a Tyson snowman. That
dude was probably his pads guy that helped him with his pads.
He's doing work, man.
Yeah.
Damn, look at the legs on that fucking tiny dude, thick. Bro.
That dude's thick. He's on that Western diet, son. He's like, pass on the pad thai and get me the Donald Trump.
Pad thai, fuck that noise. But there's something too. I think it's good for the soul.
Might be. So being over there, you mean?
Yeah.
There's something about Khalil, man. Oh, this is Jamie's doing this just to make us laugh.
Thank you, Jamie.
Son of a bitch.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah. There's something about being in a place where something was invented that must give you like some extra juice.
Have you done jiu-jitsu in Brazil?
No.
But special imagine. Place. I mean, they hate white people, but special
no,
place.
They don't.
No, they hated me. But yeah, especially when you're fighting Nogueira doing jiu-jitsu.
Of course they're going to hate you if you fight Nogueira.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, and you're a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you came from jiu-jitsu. So for you to fight Nogueira, that was a thing, like, right? Like if you fought a jiu-jitsu guy, and remember the early days? If a jiu-jitsu guy fought a jiu-jitsu guy, it'd be a real issue in the jiu-jitsu community. Like, why don't you fight somebody else?
Well, remember with Anderson, he didn't want to fight other Brazilians.
Oh, that's right.
And we fought like Taos Ladies and Damian Maia.
Yep.
It was like the worst fights ever.
Yes, that's right.
Strange.
Isn't that weird? The Taos Ladies fight, it's like almost like you just kind of let him survive.
Because he's Brazilian.
That's crazy.
White people fuck each other up.
No, I think it's like a... Do you think it's a nationalistic thing? You think they made like...
They take care of each other?
Yeah. Or do you think it's just that Taos Ladies was good? He didn't want to take any chances?
I don't
just
think so. No, I think it's too much of a respect
thing. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
So you think it was a Brazil thing?
Although with Vitor Belfort, Anderson Silva was like a cool story flick to the face.
Yeah. But the thing with Damian Maia was they had like a real problem. There was some sort of like real animosity between them. Because remember Damian Maia...
With the mask?
Yeah. No, that was Vitor.
You're right.
But he was yelling at Damian Maia.
Well, that's right. And Damian was like, this is disrespectful. Brazilians don't act this way.
Yeah.
There's something going on there when Ashton, when he's fighting other Brazilians, it sucked.
And then he blew himself out going after Damian Maia and then coasted for the last few rounds. Remember?
Yes.
And that was big deal.
Was it in Dubai?
Everybody was mad. It was in Dubai.
And Chris Weidman fought on the same card.
And BJ Penn. That's when Frankie Edgar beat BJ Penn.
That's right.
That's when he won the title.
I heard Khabib's next fight might be in Dubai in September.
Whoa. Dude, Khabib is...
Pack your bags,
Khabib
Dustin.
Khabib versus Dustin. Woof. That is going to be wild. That's going to be wild.
That's a tough fucking
Dustin
fight, man.
Dustin can crack.
Dustin can crack.
He can crack. I mean, he's an interesting cat. It's like, how good is he going to be able to fend off that grappling?
How good can anyone fend it off?
It's going to be hard.
No one can.
It's going to be hard.
I'll tell you what the fight is. I had him on my show. It's Justin Gaethje.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, dude, I'd love to fight Khabib. He's like, what's he going to do to me? I was like, take you down? He's like, I can wrestle my ass off. And I scramble. That's where he gets guys in the scramble. He goes, that's what I specialize in.
He's a wild man. You know, one thing I believe
he
is
doesn't
that
like being called wild.
I believe he would want to fight. I don't mean wild like he's not calculating, but I mean wild in that he takes risks.
Correct.
He calculates his ability to perform in those risks, but he forces action.
He wants
chaos.
One
of the reasons why, he forces action. It's definitely technical, but he's a risk taker. He's not laying back. Like if we just talked about Anderson Silva versus Taos Leites, that was not a risk taking fight.
Terrible fight.
That motherfucker never has fights like that.
Never.
Just to gauge,
you know,
comes,
why he says
takes your soul.
He says he fights that way because he doesn't have the cardio. He goes, the way I fight, I don't have the cardio to go fight. Like my style isn't conservative. I have to get it in.
Jesus.
Well, with Khabib, those are issues, man.
Yeah.
That motherfucker will go all five.
All five.
And I don't know who's going to beat Khabib.
He's big, too.
Khabib, I don't know who's going to beat Khabib.
Struggled for 55. He struggled.
Khabib's scary, man.
Until he got like his nutrition on track, remember? He'd had some issues. He's a fucking phenomenal grappler.
I don't know who's going to beat him.
He's so good. His grappling's so good. When he tied up Connor's legs in that first round, I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. This is early on.
I think maybe Tony Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson has a real good chance of making it interesting because of his own wrestling and his scramble ability. Tony's a wild scrambler.
Ready for this? Tony Ferguson and Gaethje. They're both available. God, everyone else is matched up.
Chaos. Pure chaos.
Chaos.
But I bet Tony is pissed and wants a shot at the title, which, you know, he was on his way to that when his knee ripped apart at a fucking promotional
thing. Tonight thing.
So crazy. Tripping on wires. A freak incident.
Talk about a guy who deserves the title shot.
Yes. And a guy who people have kind of like forgotten in the mix of all these killers. There's so many 55-pounders that are just straight-up killers now.
Monsters.
You know, I mean, it's what a wild division.
When you look at 55, 70, and 85, there's never been a better time to be a UFC fan. It is murderer's fucking row.
It really is.
You look at it like, oh my God. I was looking up the matchups for Stylebender. I'm like, what the fuck? Whew. These are scary.
So many fights.
I look at 170.
Who's the scariest for you, if you had to think of Stylebender? Is Yoel Romero the scariest fight for him?
That's a pretty scary fight.
Like stylistically,
he's scary for
everybody. He's scary for everybody. Still, 40 years old. Jesus Christ.
Every bit of it, too, and just every bit monster. Of it.
Monster. And so explosive. And the fucking wrestling. His wrestling is on. It's from another planet.
And he's getting explosive when he's striking.
Yeah. He'll fuck you up. He'll spinning back fist you. You always got to worry about him exploding.
A fucking nightmare, man.
Because you got to worry about him exploding. If you try to catch a break, if you're like, you know, you're standing on the outside and you're both breathing and you're moving, you're like, maybe this is the time I'm going to catch a break. And then all of a sudden, he flying knees you in the face, and you didn't see it coming.
And whether you're Whitaker or Stylebender, whoever wins that fight in Australia, you got Yoel Romero next.
Yeah.
He's number one. I'm sure he's going to fight before then, but
how much longer can he do that?
When's Father Time go? Yoel, you're special, but let's go.
Yeah. When is it, you know?
But Whitaker also, the thing with Whitaker is he gets seriously injured after every fight and has to have surgery. When's that going to catch up with him?
Well,
Stylebender's healthy as fuck.
It's true.
Allergic to shellfish, but healthy as fuck.
When you're that good and you go that hard, I mean, to train as hard as he must train to be as good as Robert Whittaker is, the human body, like Cain Velasquez is the great example of that, right?
But Cain was never that explosive like those guys.
Right, but he has unbelievable work ethic.
Correct.
That's part of what it is, man.
Correct.
It's just the ability to push through pain, the ability to just keep working and working and working and work and grind and attack. And that way when you're in those fights, like a guy like Cain would put it on people to the point where they couldn't believe it was real. They're like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, how is he coming after me still? Like, how is he not tired? What the fuck is going on here?
But you know who can do that and decides whether or not he's going to do it is Jon Jones.
Jon Jones
can do this.
Suffering from those kind of injuries.
Nothing. And Jon goes, what style do you do? You're a grinder? Let me show you how to grind.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a striking, expert? Let me show you how to strike.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good, man.
Why is Stylebender and Jon Jones, why are they talking shit to each other? Do you know what started it?
Jon did a... Originally, it did start with John. He came out in an interview and goes, you know, Stylebender's looking good. He's fighting 85. It's only a matter of time before I think we cross paths, which is silly. And then Stylebender, I think TMZ asked him. He's like, oh, I already beat one goat. I need another one. You know, I'm just getting started. But if you're John, why are you even engaging in this? Why are you punching down?
It's great for John.
Because Sancho's,
it's great for John because he wants to let everybody know, hey, I'm the best motherfucker on the planet.
But like, we know this.
But he wants to let everybody know. Like when there's a card that's about someone else. I mean, he's active now, right? Jon Jones got momentum now. Think about where he's at right now. He's in his 30s, right? Long-ass fucking career as champion, as the best ever.
Correct.
He's on a run right now. That's what I think. I think they took it away from him for all those months when he tested positive, that long suspension, all that time off, all money that he should have made, all the legacy that he could have laid down, and now I think he's just fucking chasing it.
I'm all about it, 100% all about it. However, talking to 183 pounders kind of silly.
Yeah, but if you say that in an interview, I don't think that's that disrespectful.
I don't either.
The way he said it is that one day maybe we're going to fight.
Yeah, but then Stylebender, you know, TMZ asked him. They don't know shit about fighting. They're like, oh, this guy's big, they're both black, let's fight. They have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they think.
Right.
So then it gets picked up. But then also, I think Jon Jones is the hot you know, senior in high school, and Stylebender's the new freshman who's hot, and it's like Mean Girls. Like, fuck that dude.
It's also, I wonder how much of this is like they all agree is good for business.
It's entertainment.
Yeah,
it's Well, look at Connor. Anytime there's a fight, blast something out.
Well, not just blast something out. I mean, Connor's real good about that, but like the way he's able to turn these shit-talking back and forths into publicity for fights. There is real shit talking. It is psychological warfare, but it also hypes people up to no end. Like the Khabib fight, all the craziness that led to that. Obviously, that backfired when Khabib tried to fucking attack him after it was over, and jumped into the crowd, and all the other people punched him in the head, and all that craziness.
Khabib's never been bigger.
Yeah, look, Khabib's never been bigger. Connor's never been bigger. Yeah, I mean,
he needs to fight.
He needs to fight.
He needs to fight.
He needs to fight.
You guys know this. I ride Connor's nuts. I ride Khabib's nuts. Stylebender's nuts. But with Connor, I'm like, God, hopefully something gets lined up.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is like that shit talking
keeps you relevant.
It was, yeah, it's worth something. It's worth something to both of them.
Agree.
Like if Stylebender and Jon Jones did decide to fight one day, that shit's worth something to both of them.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
There's a big gap between 85 and 205, though, man.
Jon's a giant 205er. Yeah. John could beat up any heavyweight in the world with these. Could beat up probably six of them in a night. So to fight a 183er is weird.
Yeah. Well, obviously he wouldn't be 183 if Stylebender was going to do it. I'm sure he'd want to put some weight on.
That's such a nightmare. But that's what makes Stylebender special, because those guys, same as Max Holloway, goes, I'll fight anyone.
Yeah, sure. That's what it's all about.
But it also, like, and this is not a knock on Santos or, you know, the level of competition, but at 205, there's really nothing there to get excited about. There's just not. You look at the other divisions, Santos going to be a fun fight. He's going to be a plus 700, plus 800 underdog. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I like that John's active. I like watching John beat everyone's ass.
Yeah, it's one of those things now where you got to find contenders for John, right? Because no one's really standing out.
Rockhold would be cool at 205. So heavyweight's the place.
Dominic Reyes just beat, who did he beat? Did he fight Volkan Ozdemir? No.
He did. I didn't think he beat him. And I'm a Reyes fan, but I don't think he beat Ozdemir. I thought he lost.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. That was a weird decision.
Yeah. Look, Volkan's a very good fighter, no doubt about it. But you saw what Daniel Cormier did to him.
Neither one of them are ready for John Jones.
Not ready for John Jones.
They're not even the same realm.
Right, so but we were looking at Dominic, and we were like, "That kid's really talented. He's got massive potential, and I still think he does."
Oh yeah,
you know, so
he's a stud.
He's just going to get better from this.
Johnny Walker,
right? But that guy might have a blown shoulder.
Let's say he doesn't, though.
If he doesn't,
he's still four fights away from Jon Jones.
He might be four fights away. Here's the thing: he might knock four people into another dimension on the way to Jon Jones. Like, guy's something special, man.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But you got to knock those four guys out so he can sell this thing.
You do. He does. I mean, he's put away two top level guys, pretty spectacularly. And I mean, you look at the way he fights too. He's loose and weird, and then boom, it's jumps awkward, on you. Man.
It's so special.
Power, dude. Fucking crazy power.
But I think with John, his team's smart. They're going, no, we know heavyweight's there. Yeah. We're going to clean out 205. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody beating us. We're going to clean out, so we're considered the greatest of all time. Then we'll go to heavyweight and get paid.
Well, you know, they wanted this fight. They thought it would be a good fight with Thiago, and I think one of the things that it's a good fight, one of the reasons why it's a good fight, is Thiago can shut anyone's lights out. He knows he can shut anyone's lights out. That motherfucker throws for the bleachers.
Didn't you used to fight at 70?
No, 85.
I mean, 85, right?
Yeah, 85. Struggled to make 85. Look, he's big. He's big.
He's big.
A big dude. He's big. But the fucking power that guy has.
No, I hear
in the Manoa fight, and he just swings, man. He swings wild. Now, John is not going to fight him the way Manoa fought him.
Yeah, I can't touch him.
You know, John is going to keep him on the outside with those kicks. And
take
if he decides to clinch
him,
he'll clinch him, wrestle him, take him down. John's ground and pound is horrific. His top game is off the charts.
Submissions are great.
Submissions, everything.
Striking's ground and pound, better.
Elbows are from hell. From the top, Jon Jones gets on top of you.
The best.
You're getting elbowed to oblivion, and they're coming one after the other, after the other, after the other. But in the wild exchange, where he has to be careful is that Thiago dude, Thiago Santos, will swing with everything. He will throw it all in there.
John's not even going to engage in that. You're not even going to see the opportunity.
So. I mean, that's
what makes him so special. Those guys that go, that's where your one place is to win, watch this.
Yeah.
And he just cancels it out.
I don't think that he would willingly wade into a firefight.
But
like
it could happen.
But it could happen.
That's how you sell a fight, sir.
It could happen. See, what John is going to do, if I had a guess, is try to further cement his legacy. He's going to fight the best way he can. He's got great coaches. They know what the fuck they're doing. He's going to go in there. He's going to kick that dude. If he decides to clinch with him, he's going to have a giant advantage in the wrestling. But he's got to be careful on the way in, man. That dude will swing. He will try to kill you. Yeah. He swings in a different way. He swings like this ain't making it to the fifth round. There's no fifth round. He's not even looking to get. He's that guy is just every shot. He's trying to take the lights out.
No, I'm definitely gonna watch it.
He's a wild motherfucker, man. I think this is an interesting fight. John Jones should be the strong favorite. He should be a giant favorite. But it doesn't mean it's not gonna be interesting. Because this dude's style, because he's so fucking wild. The question is going to be, how does he perform? How does he perform when that octagon door shuts and you look over, you see it's John Jones?
In title fight.
In the title fight.
But I think one of the reasons why John talking shit to Stylebender is one of the pros is we're talking about him, right? Because we probably wouldn't have talked about him versus Santos on this show if it wasn't happening. It keeps him relevant. It's, you know, he is probably the biggest name in the sport now, outside Connor, the guy who's the most active, him and Khabib, probably the biggest names. Him talking shit to Stylebender. I actually think it helps Stylebender too, right? Because now he's associated with the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the greatest of all time. But when he just, and it's going to get there, and I can't fucking wait. When he goes, all right, I'm ready for heavyweight. Him versus Francis? Dude, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Him versus Stipe, Kane.
Well, they're probably, if the Brock Lesnar deal doesn't get done, the talk is Stipe versus DC. Because the Brock Lesnar deal is not done. Now, in that whole process.
Oh, because Brock lost?
No, that's not real.
What?
WWE.
Fuck.
You didn't know?
I thought it was real.
I'm sorry. Did you see Game of Thrones? I'll give you some more spoiler alerts.
Dude, I did. Bet your sweet ass I did.
Don't talk about it. People get angry.
I know. We
don't Shut up.
There are dragons.
It's DVRing. Dragons are real. They think that, you
DC
know,
Stipe too?
Brock might not fight. They don't know. Like, I mean, Brock has to decide. This is something he definitely wants to do.
Hey, Brock, quit fucking giving us blue balls and get the fuck in there. Get the fuck out,
you
dude.
You know, he's got to make the commitment. And I know he's been training. He's been training a lot.
He's been training.
Yeah, and he's trained with some high-level wrestlers.
Brock. I hope it happens.
I do
Brock
too.
DC? Yeah. July?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Yeah.
And then July card is stacked.
You got to be careful with Brock. Remember when he tagged Randy Couture and dropped him and hammer fisted him into oblivion?
Yeah, Randy was 48 years old, but I hear you. I hear you. I like how you're selling me on these fights.
Remember how he smashed Frank Mir?
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
That was, remember him and Frank hated each other? They hated each other. Frank up.
Well, it's because Frank got him with that knee bar, and he tapped. The referee didn't stop it. Dana White says, Stipe Miocic, not Brock Lesnar, next in line. When did this happen?
The pre-conference, maybe?
No, oh, wow.
Well, no, but that's just a headline. He goes, we don't know what Brock's going to do, but if it doesn't happen, it's Stipe.
Oh, that's
DC.
Just one of them. They got us.
They got you.
They got us.
You know better, Jamie.
Damn
click but it worked.
Seeing if we could listen to it, whatever.
Clickbaity motherfuckers. They got us.
I love Stipe. Stipe DC. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need something spicy, man.
I get what you're saying, and I get the Brock Lesnar appeal. I would rather see Stipe.
Stipe, you know why? Because you're a purist, and that's why I like you, but not me. I'm like the Perez Hilton of MMA.
First of all,
not me, sir.
Out of respect, because
I know he deserves it.
He won. He defended the title more than any human being that's ever held it. He's the number one guy in the heavyweight division. So you have to rate him the greatest heavyweight of all time. If you look about accomplishments, he's the greatest UFC heavyweight of all time
DC's
in terms of
not?
Accomplishments. In terms of accomplishments. Just because he's done it four times.
Okay.
You know, DC beat him. Obviously, DC is supposed to – I mean, if you had to rank him, you know, like right now, like 1 through 10 –
think about DC's beat Roy, Frank.
DC's number one because he's the champion and he knocked him out. To say he's number two would be silly. But to say like the all-time greatest, most accomplished heavyweight.
Your boy Dana says DC. Is.
Okay. The all-time most accomplished, greatest heavyweight is Stipe. You got to take into account. Well, Kane never defended as many times as Stipe did. The question is, did Kane beat the better guys? Did he beat Junior Dos Santos when Junior was young? Before he'd been through those wars with Kane, right? Because by the time Stipe got him, Junior had been in some wars. And Junior has looked really good lately.
He looks amazing.
But you can never discount that damage. I'm not saying that he's not as good now. I think he's still phenomenal now.
But
the Bam Bam Tuivasa fight... Knocking out that dude, amazing. That dude's tough as shit, agreed. Man. Knocking that motherfucker out and the way he did it, he looks good, man.
Dude, is JDS Francis of ESPN card? That's not a pay-per-view. I think that's fucking...
Is it ESPN?
I think so. We should do a fucking companion. We should do it
from around. And he fought Derek Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Stop Derek Lewis. Yeah. Look, Junior Dos Santos still is an amazing fighter.
That's on the July card.
Ah, fuck. So... I'm going to watch it.
When Stipe beat him, but you know what? Stipe can knock anybody out like that, too. It's hard to say.
You know what the problem is with Stipe? The problem is DC's fought, what, twice since their fight? Mm. Stipe's just been chilling.
Well, he's been wanting this rematch,
man. I got it. I get it, but...
But it's a risky thing when you're a former heavyweight champion and you're going to take a fight when you rightfully deserve a rematch. And what if you get hurt while you're taking this fight? What if you get, you know, you have this fight and you get hurt and then you have knee surgery and then you're out for another year and then DC loses it and DC retires? He wants to fight him again. And the way to fight him again is to hold out.
To hold out this whole time?
I don't know, man.
Obviously, the UFC.
If he wants to fight DC again, that's the way. It seems.
Well, now, in hindsight, because Lesnar's not happening, John Jones not going to heavyweight, but he's the third choice in all this.
Well, I thought.
Fuck waiting for that.
I thought it was very interesting.
He deserves
it. John said that to Stipe. That John
How weird
put that
is that?
Out I don't think it's weird. I think
For
it's
July.
The same thing. The same thing we did with Stylebender. He's just fucking with everybody. He's getting his name out there. He's learning from Connor.
See, I think there's more to it.
What?
I think UFC was fishing and went, hey, you down to fight Stipe? And John went, yeah, fuck up, Stipe. And they went, Stipe, you down to fight John? And went, yeah, fuck up, John. I think there's more to it.
You think so?
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. No reason at all.
Maybe they did have some preliminary discussions as to whether or not the two would engage in fisticuffs. Maybe they did.
That's a great Could fight.
Be. It's a great fight.
Stipe deserves fight. It 100%.
He deserves big fights, man. Look, the guy doesn't deserve to be forgotten.
No, I mean, not at all. But again,
his Francis Ngannou fight was one of the most impressive heavyweight title defenses.
Agree.
Because Francis was on fire. He was so dangerous.
Do they have Francis ranked ahead of him now? That'd just be disrespectful. But Francis has done work.
Stipe's got to be the number one contender.
No.
What?
Be Stipe's number one?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Have to be, right?
Have to be.
You never know with rankings.
Have to be.
Francis number two.
Stipe and Francis. Yeah. Stipe beat Francis. It's that simple. Stipe beat Junior. It's that simple. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Dude, Francis Dos Santos. Oh, my God.
Dude. Boy, I can't believe that's even happening.
Boy, it gets dicey down that heavyweight. After six, it gets dicey.
Look, man. Francis.
There's only 15 heavyweights in the world.
Francis with takedown defense. Francis with an understanding of what it's like to fight five rounds. And Francis with a little bit more experience. And good.
Dude, him, Dos Santos.
Fucking luck.
Stipe booked a jiu-jitsu match, I saw.
Did he really?
Against who?
Dude, imagine you blow your knee out in a jiu-jitsu match. And you can't fight for the title.
Those jiu-jitsu matches are backfiring, trust me.
They're rough, man. And those big dudes want to fuck you up.
So depends who he's going against.
Right.
Fight,
that's true.
Fight to win 110 in Cleveland.
Who's he?
Against?
Please don't say it's a leg lock guy. Please don't say it's Bushesha. A leg lock guy.
Oh, no. Or Cyborg.
Cyborg will rip your legs apart. Or Gordon Ryan. Well, Gordon Ryan can't really do that right now, right?
Or Gary Tonin.
Gordon Ryan just tore his knee.
No, it says no info on his opponent.
Oh, okay.
That's because he's probably booking a fight. He's like, see ya. Dude, your boy Ben Askren is fighting.
Yeah,
Bill. The fucking... Not
Masvidal.
Fighting. He's fighting Masvidal, but I'm saying
he's
doing
a wrestling match with Jordan Burroughs, right?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
God, crazy, man. That's like May 6th, I think.
You know, if Ben Askren can really hang with Jordan Burroughs still...
Dude. Yeah. Insane.
Because everybody who rolls with him, I never even clinched with him, but... Everybody who's done everything with him, the closest I came to a clinch is like that hug you do when you bro hug a dude.
Get the over under a little bit just to feel it out.
But they say that it's like he's got four arms. They say, dude, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I've heard
Dean Thomas
about him.
Was telling me. Yeah. Dean Thomas is saying, dude, it's ridiculous.
I've
it's
heard
like it doesn't even make sense.
Molly Wops, world champions, we all know.
Yeah, just ragdolls people. That's how good his wrestling is. I mean, if you see that fight with Robbie Lawler, the fucking bombs that guy took.
It's fucked up.
And the
early,
fact that
man.
He still figured out a way to get a hold of Robbie Lawler's neck. That he still figured out a way to get him into that headlock. And Robbie knew he wanted to clinch with him. He couldn't keep him off.
Dude, I was sweating in that fight because you and I hyped him up so much. I was like, oh, please don't get starched in the first round.
It's still a super controversial ending to me.
Well, you had Herb on. What did he say?
Well, Herb said that, first of all, Herb Dean is the shit.
Nice guy.
Couldn't be nicer.
Great guy.
But I love his perspective. He's so laid back, and his ego is so healthy. Like, when he talks about things, like, you don't see any, it's very reasoned, like the way Buddhist he approaches sloth. Things. But he's just, like, chilled out, and he's, like, very self-deprecating and chilled out about it. But he had a very good point. He was like, that's not just a manipulation of the neck, like in terms of like cutting off the carotid artery.
Correct.
Like, this is a manipulation of the spine. It's like a bit of a neck crank.
And even think about that.
He was talking about, like, you look how he's got a hold of the head, and how he goes, the real, what I'm concerned with is if someone's going unconscious from some nerve shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like from a neck crank. Like, apparently he had seen a guy who had got neck cranked like that, and then afterwards the guy couldn't walk. He like couldn't move. It came back. But for moments, he couldn't move.
See, this is shit we don't even think about. I'm like, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why he's Herb Dean.
He's the gold standard. He's the gold standard. It's Big John McCarthy and him, and Big John doesn't do it anymore.
So it's Herb Dean. So it's Herb Dean. Numero uno.
And just that, when you think about it, and Askren says, what he says is that, see, that's nasty, dude.
That looks terrible.
That's nasty. With the way he's holding on to the head like that and cranking your neck.
I like that they're not rematching.
It's a very bad position.
I like that the UFC went, oh, all right, we're good.
Yeah.
I dig that.
I get it. I want to see it again. I disagree. I think that I agree with Herb's stoppage, and I see that the arm went limp, but then the thumb came up. But then as soon as he let go, Robbie jumped up. Usman had me convinced that Robbie was never out. But Herb had me convinced that it was too dangerous for him to allow to continue once the arm dropped in that weird way.
So do you side with Herb?
You have to side with Herb.
Yeah.
In that situation.
He's the expert.
You have to side with Herb. Because he's right. Because that is a special circumstance. See, I looked at it in terms of, and I didn't even consider this when I was talking to Usman, that I looked at it in terms of, it's just a choke.
Yeah.
And Herb was like, no, it's a neck crank.
Me too.
So, but still, I'd love to see it again.
I'd like to see it next. So if they both win, because Askren Masvidal?
I know.
That doesn't get your dick hard?
No, Askren Masvidal's wild.
And then let's say Askren wins that, which is a tough fight to win.
That's a tough
and
fight.
And then say Woodley and Lawler, say Lawler wins that, then they mm-hmm. fight, it's even bigger.
Woodley versus Lawler, though, that's a tall order.
Yes.
You know, after Woodley knocked him out.
Well, it's a tall order for both
for
of
both
them.
Fights.
It's yeah, a tough
for
fight.
Both fighters.
Yeah. Tough fight to call either way.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how Woodley bounces back, but he's been saying all the right things.
I love Woodley.
I love Woodley, too. And one of the things that I love that he said he didn't realize the value of the title until it was gone, and now he really understands it. I mean, I just think he really understands it now that it's not there anymore. He's not the champ anymore. And to get beaten in a – it's not like a fight. Like, you know, you could make a rematch with Kelvin and Stylebender in 6 months.
True.
You can
back and forth.
Yeah, you can make that rematch. Kelvin yeah. knocked him down. Kelvin yeah, hurt fair. Him. That wasn't that kind of fight.
No. Usman yeah. looked so good.
Different fight. Usman,
oh my God.
Usman looked spectacular. Former champions Tyron Woodley and Robbie Lawler to meet in UFC main event. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's booked.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
booked.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's where it's talking delivered. About. Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
yeah, I'm, no. thinking, I'm not going to be there for that
it's
one.
On fight that's night.
It's a fight night?
Yeah.
June 29th, Target Center.
That's a hell of a fight. Imagine that. That's a fight night. Two former world champions. And, bro, Robbie Lawler physically in
he
that last
so
fight.
So good.
Shredded. He said he had this crazy strength and conditioning program. Super motivated, you know?
Dude, we haven't talked about this on air. We talked a little bit at the Comedy Store. How about your boy TJ Dillashaw?
It's not
both
good.
Our boys.
Yeah, it's not good.
Did you see his apology?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean, at least he's just straight up admitting it.
I think that's what you have to do,
because
then you're kind of like, yeah, I fucked up. And then people can't really come at you.
Yeah, I mean, he's being honest about it. And, I do have to correct something. Someone wrote an article that said that Cody Garbrandt found out that TJ tested positive for his fight, too, and Cody went crazy. I think I got duped by a clickbaity article.
No, we all got duped. Everyone thought that.
And I think actually somebody got us with a clickbaity article.
But everyone did.
But I should have been more responsible, so my apologies to TJ. So I don't think there's been another one that they tested him on that he's positive, but
they're looking into it now.
Here's the thing. Well, we have to. This is something that I know. EPO is not always tested for.
Correct.
And
did you see Dana?
What'd he say?
Because USADA is expensive as fuck. He goes, hold on. you guys aren't, he didn't know. He goes, you guys aren't tested for EPO every time. We pay this much money for you numbnuts to show up guys at 3 a.m. and test them. And you're not testing every time and we pay this much. He goes, I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, time to cancel USADA. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for playing. See ya.
Everything's been looking good.
Jeff, take it from here.
Come back.
Be cool, bro.
Yeah. Next thing you know, everybody's back looking thick, thick and juicy.
Now, but I guess what they're going to do is they're going to go back and see if they still have the samples for when he did beat Cody and test those for EPO.
Well, this is what you and I were talking about when we were at the store. We're like, how far do we go back?
Dude, I'm telling you, Joe, you don't want to go down that road, man.
Test them all.
You're crazy.
Test them all. Let's find out what's real.
Why? Why do you want to do that?
Test them all.
You're crazy, dude. You can't do it. You're going to ruin the foundations of the UFC.
This is an intellectual exercise. I don't really want you to test them all.
Yeah.
But if I was going to argue, I'd say test them all.
I think
line it up. Let's find out what's up. Oh. We've always wondered.
Have we? Not me. I've never wondered. You want to test Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner UFC?
Test them all.
The fight that catapulted the freaking UFC.
Listen, but then again, test all the football players. Test all the baseball.
Test them all. Test everyone's feelings are being
hurt. Did you watch Screwball?
No, I haven't.
Holy shit, is it good? The Billy Corbin documentary. Yeah. Do you know what they did?
Yeah.
They had little kids play the actors, and the doctor.
Right?
It's hilarious.
I know the story.
Dude. The story's nuts because it's in the people who are actually there narrating it. They're telling the story, and they got these little kids playing A-Rod and playing it's fucking great, man.
It's a crazy story, though.
It's a crazy story.
I feel bad for TJ, man.
You know what, man? When everybody makes an agreement to not cheat, and they're testing you all the time to try to make sure that you're not cheating, don't you think that the environment's different now than it was before USADA was initiated? And don't you think that's a good thing? I'm putting words in your mouth. Notice how I phrased that question?
Yeah, I know. I'm
on Fox News or something.
I know. Thanks. No, you're right. It is better overall for the purity of the sport.
I think it's better.
But I still assume guys are going to figure out a way to cheat.
Yeah,
because PEDs in sports is no different than a referee or a judge or gloves. They go hand in hand. People have always done PEDs or enhancements in every aspect, whether it's football, basketball, music, surfing, sex. It's just what humans do, especially when the odds are so high that this little thing can help you achieve, maybe it gets you a victory, but you know. And then also with TJ Dillashaw's thing, granted, we know EPO is illegal. But this one's a little different. If you tested positive for like steroids or whatever, like straight up steroids, because if you and I engage in a fight and we have 8 weeks to train and you go to Mount Everest or where the fuck you want to get your red blood cells higher and then fight me back at sea level, but I just stay here and inject those red cells, you know?
The difference is that if you operate at sea level and you're taking EPO, you will be able to work much harder and get more rounds in, and you will recover much better. If you are up at altitude, the problem is living and training really at high altitude, you can't put out as much output.
But the night of the fight, we're going to have the same.
No.
Why?
The EPO will have more.
Way more?
Yeah.
Not even close.
No, you're gonna have a stroke from that stuff. I mean, depends on how much you're taking.
But yeah.
That was one of the things Nowitzki was telling me about, where young cyclists
thick
that were just having strokes.
Well, your boy, I think it was Lance Armstrong, maybe he was on your show, but he would wake up in the middle of the night and have to ride a bike because his blood was so thick.
That was my friend Salami.
Do I know Salami?
No. No, I'll explain.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can't chill for long.
He was a bike racer.
You'd have to wake up in the middle of the night and ride your bike.
I think Lance did discuss how guys
would
do that.
I think that's where I got it, yeah.
It's been, we've talked about it. Maybe Lance did. Did Lance talk about having to get up in the middle of the night?
Or did you and I talk about this? Did I talk about getting up in the middle of the night riding a bike? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding.
But anyway, obviously, look, that with the Lance Armstrong thing, I feel like everyone was doing it.
And you don't
everyone.
Think you don't everyone think UFC you think TJ's the only one?
No. I think other people are taking EPO and they're hoping they don't get caught. That's what I think. I think it's still cheating.
Correct.
And I think I don't think everybody's doing that. I think there's a lot of guys who are doing it honorably.
I agree.
Most guys are doing it honorably. You know, I think you could get it in your mind. Look, this it just is what to take from Max Holloway. It is what it is, right?
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's cheating, right? He would TJ would admit that, I'm sure.
He did admit it, yeah.
Yeah, he did. That's what it is. But I mean, I don't even know if I have a point.
I don't know if I do either.
I was going to say the guy's trying to provide for his family, but so is everybody
so
else.
So is Cody Garbrandt.
So is Cody Garbrandt.
So is Henry Cejudo.
So is everybody. Everybody he fights.
But I would like to sit down with TJ, and yeah. I've reached out to him since he's been suspended. Yeah. I want to sit down with him and just be like, why did you do it? Like, what mm-hmm. led you to this? Because his cardio has been great since he was a child with his wrestling background. At what point along the way, was it 6 years ago, six fights ago, did you think you need to do this in order to beat these guys?
Well, we could look at one thing that we know that he's been doing. He has a rigorous strength and conditioning program. That training lab,
that
strength and conditioning program that he's doing. Yeah.
I have an issue with that.
I understand your issue, but that shit is off the charts crazy difficult. They're doing wild stuff and medicine ball work and plyometrics and all this stuff, and TJ looks like a fucking beast when he's doing it.
But have you seen Brian Ortega's workout with Mike?
Yeah.
They do crazy shit too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not justifying it, but what I'm saying is that in order to do that kind of work, like to put out that kind of pace, your body's going to have some time to recover in between workouts. Well, if you take EPO, that time of recovery is diminished quite a bit, according to Nowitzki. You're saying it allows guys to put in more work. So yeah. It doesn't just give you more cardio. It allows you to recover faster so you could train harder. And you know, as well as anybody, that sometimes the difference between victory and defeat is just having a little more in your gas tank, just having
especially at that level.
Little longer camp,
100%.
Not being injured the last couple of weeks where you lost some cardio. You know those awful feelings? Well, if you had the opposite of those awful feelings, instead of being compromised, being enhanced,
it's going to help you here
too. It's going to help you
mentally.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to help your head. You're going to come in there like a fucking champion to that. What's that song he always comes into?
Oh, give it away now.
Is that what he comes
in? Oh, no, he comes the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, does he really? I always forget, guys. The only guy whose walkout music I always remember, two. One was, of course, Matt Hughes, because he'd come out to Country Boy Can't Survive.
Country Boy, yeah.
That fucking song.
Who's the other?
Randy Couture, when he came out to Stranglehold.
Oh, interesting. Not Anderson Silva, DMX?
Oh, that's right.
That shit was fire. Yeah.
Well,
that was scary.
Mickey Gall's got the best one, though.
You think?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine.
I don't like that one. I don't like that one.
Come on, man.
Wonder Boy's got a good one.
What's Wonder Boy's?
It's a song. It's called Wonder Boy.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, that's pretty
words
dope.
Are like, Wonder Boy, what is the secret of your powers?
Oh,
that's pretty dope.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who came out to the Game of Thrones song, though? Someone came out to Game of Thrones. That's pretty gangster. It's a little boring, but you know shit's about to
but
go down.
But it's still something special. Did you see D'Elia, that fucking dork, with his shirt off, doing an air violin to Game of Thrones? Fully committed.
I was like, what are you doing? He's so silly.
He's so silly, man.
Do you think, I was thinking about TJ, do you think 2 years is good enough?
It's a good question.
I think it is. 2 years without income?
Question, but here's the question. What are they going to do? What if they decide, what if Cody demands that they test his sample for EPO?
That's a good question. So let's say they can test that, and let's say
now, this might have already happened, and we don't know.
You'll know before me. So let's say that they go back and test the two fights with Cody that he beat him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say both test positive for EPO. I don't think they will, but let's say they did. Ooh. That's three, brother. Yeah. That's the three strike rule. You're out for life.
Mm. Man,
can they go back that far and do it?
I'm stressed. This would be the best argument for getting rid of. Nowitzki says Dillashaw was tested for EPO in both fights against Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, shout
results
out to Nowitzki.
Came back negative. Okay, so
he's good.
Yeah, so he's good for that. But they could go back to, you know.
But go ahead and go, because if he didn't do it during Cody Garbrandt fights,
right?
Come on, dude.
Well,
but
how
also,
long has
did
he training at the training lab? Was the first Cody Garbrandt fight when he was out of Denver? Was he at
he was switching time and then moved here permanently because of the training lab. But also,
which was the first fight? Was it the Cody Garbrandt fight?
I'm pretty sure.
The first Cody Garbrandt.
The first one. But also, at 125, it makes sense you do EPO because cutting that weight,
mm-hmm.
125, Henry's going to have more, yeah.
No energy when he's trying to train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're wrecked. So that would make more sense. That does make sense. They tested hot for it one time.
Yeah. And maybe that was the only way he could make the 25. Yeah. Fuck. That's awful.
Awful.
Oof.
Still. This is before this first fight with him.
What's that?
Before UFC 217, the Madison Square Garden fight.
Okay. So that's it. Started with that. Yeah. So that's when they started training together.
Makes sense when he would do it, right? Yep.
Makes sense because he's trying to get down to an ungodly weight. Dude, he looks so bad. When he was walking around that day.
Shredded city.
The day. But no, it was more than. It was Skeletor style.
That's why I'm talking shredded like an Ethiopian kid.
If it was more like like unhealthy. Someone who was starving.
Yes.
It was like his face was not so good. Sucked in. I was worried about it. This just doesn't look good.
He looks so sick.
He looks like an ultra marathon runner. Like one of those crazy dudes who's just doing one every weekend.
God, I need to get like that.
What is the one on the bottom?
135.
Wow, he looks so much bigger. That's crazy, the difference in the amount of muscle he carries on. Like his body ate muscle.
What a nightmare. What a bad decision to go to 125 in hindsight.
And also to do it where he wasn't draining himself that much because he got down to like 135 naturally
this
and
is
then
what
cut
bothers
the last 10.
That training lab, how, and they have to do a safe face. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But TJ came on my show and he's talked about in other interviews saying how they did blood work every day and testing everything. You're telling me that when you insert fucking EPO, no one had any idea, you're doing it yourself? And this is the other alarming thing. EPO is not a gateway drug. It's not like marijuana, the drug. It's not gateway PEDs. That's some black belt level shit.
Is it?
Yeah, talk to your boy Lance about it. You just don't start with EPO. That's some high level shit, man. Because think about it, your blood thickens, you got to run tests.
Right, you would want to start with like some Anavar.
Yeah, a little quick Winstrol. What's up, baby?
What's up? Look at the traps coming in, son.
Damn, this shit's dope.
I'm only 4 weeks in.
Yeah. Like, yeah. EPO's some serious shit, man.
That is serious. That's a very good
point. Now, maybe someone came to him and was like, dude, better cardio at 125. EPO's the way to go, and I know how to do this. Let's go down this road.
Who do you think is going to be the first dude to come along with gene editing?
Might be Yoel Romero.
He might have heard it. Everybody did it. Yeah.
Just a Cuban experiment.
Just some fucking crazy science project.
God.
He never gets old.
He's a Ninja Turtle and he took
55.
His shot.
He looks exactly the same. Yeah. Like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
He doesn't age like a normal person.
Probably some Chinese dude.
But one day they're going to deal with that. One day there's going to be a person who shows up who is ridiculously jacked, that never gets tired, and is fast as fuck.
Everyone's fucked.
And everyone's fucked. If they figured out a way, I mean, how much can they manipulate cardio when you have big muscles? That's what we're going to find out.
Yes.
We're
going
to find out if there's a point where you can't, like the physical structure won't hold any more muscle and you can't get any more oxygen through it. You only get to a diminishing point of returns, you know?
What are you going
to
do then?
I don't know.
China would be the first one.
China for sure.
For sure. It should be this jack Chinese dude. Russia doesn't need it. They're like, we're big and hairy.
They think they might have already done something like that with Karelin. Did you ever see Karelin and his parents?
No.
The crazy conspiracy theory was always that Karelin, who was one of the most feared wrestlers, if not the most feared wrestler ever, who just would take 300-pound men and hoist them through the air, and he moved like a panther, and he's a big giant guy.
Panther.
His parents were small. Little tiny folk.
Weird.
Oh, dude, they called him the experiment. There's a picture of him, I think it was Sports Illustrated, one of those sports magazines, where he's got his like hand on his mom and his dad. They're like his children, bro. He's a giant.
He might just be a freak, though.
Might be a freak.
That.
Might
like, be. Like, I don't think Shaq's parents are big.
Dude.
Holy. Oh.
That's him with Fedor.
Oh, my God.
Dude,
he's a gigantic.
Go to that black and white photo of him looking ferocious. There's a look at the picture of him right there with the shirt. Right there. Click on that one. Click on that one.
Holy fuck.
Bro. Listen to me.
Oh, he has giantism. Look at his chin, dude.
Bro. He's got more than that, dude. He's got more than that.
How big is he?
He's fucking huge, man. Look at that picture with him. That's him right there. Look at that. Bro, he would pick dudes up and they would go for a motherfucking ride. Guys would try to flatten out and lay their whole body on the ground in hopes that he couldn't pick them up. He would clench his hands underneath their belly, hoist them up in the air like a fucking pillowcase, and smash them on the ground.
He's the guy our American beat.
Yes.
The fat guy who lost his toes in the winter.
Yeah. Rulon Gardner.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, did you have him on here?
No, I never have, but I would. But Rulon Gardner beat him in the twilight of his career. This is not taking anything away from Rulon, but he only beat him by a point because he made Karelin separate his hands.
It was a sumo match.
It was
a
controversial new rule. It was like a controversial new changing in point system. I believe Rulon. I'm calling that correctly.
Look at Rulon.
Make sure I'm calling that correctly. Like how Rulon Gardner.
Yeah, that Russian. That's fucking right.
Dude, he was so scary.
Dude, he's jacked.
He was so scary. And he had one, I think he had a fixed fight in Japan. It looked like a work. You know, like they do those. Yeah. They used to do those in Japan.
They still do.
Yeah. It looked like he
tension had, and fucking Floyd was fixed.
What?
You think it was real?
100%.
Oh, Joe.
You want to watch again?
We can.
Why do you think it was fixed?
Come on. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I just think it's some bullshit.
No, it was a guy who's a legitimate 155-pound man who is fighting a
dude. Did you see Tenshin crying and rolling around on the ground?
A dude who fights at 126.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Never had a professional boxing match.
How crazy is
who's
that?
Who's fighting against the greatest boxer of all
Listen
time.
Listen to what you're
He's
saying.
He's so small.
And Tenshin's
fixed.
And Tenshin's their fucking poster boy.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, here's Floyd Mayweather, dude.
I don't think they thought he was going to knock him out.
Really?
Tension's a beast, man. I mean, you've seen him fight.
But when it comes to when it comes to boxing,
I understand that. But they were really thinking he could hit him. This was the thought: was that Tension is really a striking genius. Have you never seen him?
So is Conor McGregor.
Well, but no. But it's different. Tension is faster. It's smaller. I mean, he moves like a lightning bolt. And in Japan, the fact that this kid's only like 18 or 19 years old,
it's crazy,
and been fucking people up, including knocking out world Muay Thai champions. So they threw him to the wolves real early on. Okay, let's watch this and tell me why you think this is fake. I see a dude who's so much smaller than Floyd. Look how little he is.
Way smaller.
He's way smaller. Floyd is not even remotely nervous. He's not remotely nervous. This kid is,
remember,
fantastic.
Look at Floyd laughing.
Yes.
Remember, he didn't even do this to Connor.
Right, but of course, Connor can knock him out. This guy can't knock him out.
He's
no.
supposed to be the next big thing.
Dude, he's a great kickboxer, but he's not kickboxing. He's boxing. You're not going to outbox Floyd Mayweather when you've never had a professional boxing match. At least I don't think he has. He's had a lot of kickboxing, though. And in kickboxing, he's fucking amazing. But he's also amazing against guys that are 126 pounds.
That's also 18.
Dude, look how small he is compared to Floyd.
Floyd's tiny.
And Floyd, look how easily Floyd blocks those punches. And he's not feeling any danger. So he's just tries to put it on this kid. He's walking him down. He's walking him down, looking for an opening.
This is the first round.
Yes, Floyd why would he wait? Boom, he cracks him. Why would you
cracks
wait?
Cracks him?
That was a crack? You don't think... Back it up. Let's watch it again.
Back that shit up, Jamie.
Back it up. Let's watch it again. Dude, he cracked him. Watch this. Right there. Here it goes. Let it roll from here. Gets him in this corner. He hit him with a left hook to the temple. You don't see that left hook to the temple? Watch one more time. Pank. Right there. Thank you. He fucking cracked a dude who's a legit 30 pounds lighter than him on the temple and dropped him.
How dare
you? You just watched it.
Cracked?
You just watched it. That is a full-on left hook. First of all, there was a stumble in there as well. But he hit him. See the stumble after he got rocked?
Dude, that's a tough one,
no,
Joe.
No, it's not tough at all.
I don't see that.
It's not tough at all. The kid gets up. He got wobbled. They give him a standing eight count. He looks nervous as fuck. He looks over.
Looks like he's sticking
stung,
to the
man.
Script.
You're fucking crazy.
I think you're crazy.
And now Floyd moves in, and the kid's even trying to fire back. He's just not good enough, man. Floyd's standing right in front of him with his fucking hands up. The kid's got no chance. He's much smaller, no experience against a guy as good as Floyd, and Floyd's walking him down with his hand. This is real, man. This is real. That kid's trying to hurt him. He just can't do it. He's fighting the best ever. And then, boom! Come on, son.
That was legit.
That was real
that
as fuck.
That uppercut was
no,
legit.
No, all of it's real.
That first one didn't look
you,
legit.
You should know. We've all seen guys get hit with shit that didn't look like much, and they go down. We've all seen it. You know, we've all seen guys get touched on the chin, and they fall down.
Look at Floyd.
Look at this. Do you remember Travis Luter versus Marvin Eastman? Remember that? A lot of people said that was fixed. They're like, that's fake. No one gets hit with a punch like that. No. Sometimes you come into a fight compromised. Look, this is 100% legit. 1-2, right on the fucking head, and he falls down. Dude, this is 100% a legit fight. This kid got fucked up by the best boxer of all time.
You see, they might
He's 126
he's
pounds.
He's tiny.
None of this made any sense in the first place.
Zero sense.
But you got to admit, that's a real fight.
That looked pretty legit. I'll give
you that. It's real. That's a real goddamn
fight. That first one's questionable. The next two were great.
No, it wasn't questionable at all.
I'm just saying, for the argument, for my first one, it looked questionable.
To me, if you watch the whole thing play out in slow motion, what happens is you see a left hook.
That was easy work for Floyd.
You see a stumble. And Floyd moves in, and their legs tangle up a little bit, and then Floyd hits him with a right hand when he's on his way down. Floyd fucked that dude up.
Did you see all that happened? Manny Pacquiao signed with him now?
Does he have a mouthpiece in there? Or is that just like one of those real tiny... I mean, the whole fight that I was watching that video, it didn't look like he had one in.
Good, he probably didn't even want to wear a mouthpiece. Fuck your mouthpiece. You fight in Japan, they'll let you do whatever you want.
Well, think about it. This wasn't a sanctioned fight.
Dude.
Exhibition. No mouthpiece.
He don't need a mouthpiece then. Dude, they let Dos Carlos, remember that dude?
That suspect.
That dude who wore the, what was the guy's name that wore the wrestling mask when he fought Crow Cop? That's one of the best Crow Cop KOs of all time.
What a terrible idea.
Like a scene from a movie. Dos Carlos, is that who it was? I'm trying to remember his name. But anyway, Crow Cop hits this dude with the perfect left high kick, shin to the dome. The guy goes down like he got shot, and blood starts leaking under.
What the fuck was he thinking?
Yep, Dos Carlos. That's it. So why? But when he lands this kick, dude, the end is so crazy. It's like a scene in a movie, like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Some dude who is a pro wrestler who decides to fight one of the best kickboxers of all time to ever enter into MMA. Boom! Now watch this. Watch when they focus in on homeboy when he's down.
Let's take the mask off.
Let me see this. It ended. When he was, during Pride, when it ended, the dude is sitting there. You see blood trickling out from underneath the mask. He shinned him.
Dude, how about Crow Cop had to retire? Was having, I think something in his, was his neck or his heart? He had to retire, though.
What was it?
He had a health scare.
Oh, Jesus.
He had like a small heart attack, I think. Is that right, Jamie? Some health concern. Stroke.
Yeah.
He had to retire. Crow Cop had a stroke?
Yeah, the thing with Whitaker, too, I was trying to bring it up, but you guys were going too fast. He had an abscess on his, not a torn rectum, but it's in the same area. And then because he was taking antibiotics for that, he got chicken pox.
God damn.
Which once he had that, his whole team was like, you're not fighting. He still kind of wanted to, but.
Jesus Christ.
He's such a monster.
So he had a cyst in his rectum?
He had the hernia
mm-hmm.
and then an abscess. It's not in your rectum. It's like
a muscle tear.
It's like a pus pocket thing.
But probably from some sort of an injury, right?
You can get it from a lot of different things. It can come. Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had a hemorrhoid?
Yeah.
They're awful.
Nasty.
Awful.
Why does Preparation H work so well?
It doesn't work out. If you have a serious one, it don't give a fuck.
Oh, man.
I've had a grape one. No, I didn't let it go. I did deadlifts or something and went, let's not do that. And flared up the size of a small grape.
Yeah, they get gross.
Oh, my God.
Ari bleeds every time he shits.
Still?
Yep.
That can't be healthy.
Gotta be bad. Right? I mean,
have you had one, Jamie?
Yeah, once, but I just, the picture of Ari's, he like shows pictures of just like lots of them.
He sends you those.
I love Ari's text about or tweet about Game of Thrones. Spoiler. Just fuck you. I want to talk about it.
Yeah, stay offline.
Yeah, that's what I say.
What happens, stay offline.
Love Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it was pretty dope last night. We can't give away any spoilers, but how good are those goddamn special effects?
They're good.
Fucking dragons, man.
There was a lot to get. This episode, there was just, they had to tie everything together, so it's slow.
So if you're new to it, cut the shit. They need, like.
Get the White Walkers fighting now.
They also need, let's be honest, you can't do this all in 8 more episodes. You're lying to us.
They're going to, though.
They're gonna fuck us.
That was only 5. I thought it was only 6 total. I could be way wrong, but they're longer, too, though. Like, the last 2 are 80 minutes
long. I think this first one's the shortest one, right?
Damn. I thought it was eight.
Isn't it crazy that the show is the most popular show in the world and they're going to stop it?
I wonder what they're just like, we're good.
Like the whole thing you always want if you're in show business is to have the most popular show in the world.
But it's good to go out, right? Like at a high.
But I mean, you know how hard it is to get the most popular fiction show and one of the greatest fiction show, if not the greatest ever. And you're there. In the peak of it.
How many people are watching it? Like, how many watched last night, do you think?
17.7. Yeah, there's only 6 episodes.
Dude, do you know how crazy that is? 17.7 million people watch something on HBO. That's crazy. You know what that would be like if it was Fox? If it was CBS?
I was just thinking, like, Roseanne was like 40 million.
It would be off the charts. Because everybody has regular channels.
Yeah.
But everybody doesn't have HBO, especially today with Netflix and all these different
things. Many people would watch it if it was on YouTube?
Oh, my God. But would you watch it on your TV on YouTube?
Yeah, I watch it all the time on my TV on YouTube.
Do you have an app you use? Yeah. Do you use it for Apple TV?
I have Dish. I can just go to channel 372 and it's YouTube. Oh, and I click and watch all my shows.
372 on DirecTV is YouTube?
Dish.
On Dish.
Or it might be 371's Netflix.
It's amazing that there's only one, right? Like there's Vimeo, but like YouTube in terms of like how much content is owns online. It.
They have a big competitor that not a lot of people talk about.
What's that?
Pornhub. For real, though.
No, they do.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that have had to move, and they put their content on there, whether or not they're doing, like, there's tits out or whatever, too, mm-hmm. but a lot just uncensored, and, like, there are people actually making money on there also.
With ads?
You're up again. Yeah.
But probably nowhere.
I don't know. I don't know how much
users
they're actually
are
making.
On YouPorn.
A ton. There's a lot of guys on there, so. It's the same. They're on the both websites, though.
When is VR porn going to really start taking off?
When those headsets don't become so cumbersome to wear.
Yeah. You can't jerk off with a backpack.
Oh, my God.
Attached to a wall with a cord. You just won't be able to relax, you know? You won't be able to relax.
That brain tracking thing, though, would be an interesting thought.
While you're beating off?
Yeah, if it knows what you're thinking about. You want to find out what's
happening? Meanwhile, Jamie's just thinking about, like, animal attacks.
Well,
that's your issue.
Hold on. No, it's Jamie, probably.
Do we know how many... You can't even say users, really, but how many users does YouTube have compared to everyone? It's not even close, yeah, right?
It's like you don't even have to have an account to go watch a video.
No, you don't have to log in or nothing.
That's really a crazy business model, right? They figured out some wild thing. Let people just stream shit, and the thing about it is that there's no one else like it. Like, where the fuck are the next ones?
Dude, there's nothing even close. I'll say crazy, this, too. Right? Like, I've never – just go back to the fights – I swear on my life, I've never done a legal stream ever because I always think I was taking away from the fighters, didn't want to fuck them over.
Right.
And when I couldn't figure it out and I thought I might have to do that, I got probably 2,000 DMs of links and I'm just thinking, I'm like, this is how people watch the fights now.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real problem. Yeah. Like, I was in a coffee shop before I came here and the guys were fight fans and listen to my shows, and they go, man, what'd you think of the fights? I went, yeah, yeah, good. How'd you guys watch it? And it's four young guys, and they go, come on, man. We're not paying $80. Mm-hmm. I went, you just illegally stream? They go, yeah, I went, tons of people are doing that. But I think it's actually good for the fighters. I think it's good.
It's good for their popularity, for
correct.
Sure.
And that's all they care about because the UFC is going to pay them a finite number no matter what.
Yeah. And it's probably also good for the sport that way, too, because more people see it, more people see how awesome it is. The more people that saw that last fight, the more people are going to recognize how, at the very best level, how fucking exciting the sport is.
Because think about ESPN Plus and when you have to buy the pay-per-view, you're limiting how many people can see that by behind these paywalls.
Right.
So with these illegal streams, at least for the fighter's sake, everyone can see these great matchups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, like, I'm always torn. I'm always, because I don't want the UFC to shut down. I love the UFC. Mm-hmm. Love the fucking UFC. I don't want it to do bad. I hope these numbers do great. But when I see what I have to go through as a diehard fan, like, my dad was like, oh, I'm out. Nope, I'm not doing it. I'm like, come on, man. He's like, no, too much. So I'm wondering how many people did that.
I'm sure quite a few. But that's, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing... To cite Max Holloway again, there's nothing you can do.
Those streams they're going to
fix it, but the day's over. Yeah, the streams are going to exist.
There's nothing they can do, really.
They got to make it easy for people to just get it. Make it easier. And once they make it easier, once everybody's set up, I think the numbers will go up. I think most people don't want to go through the hassle of going through a stream, putting it on their television. Most people just want to be able to tune in.
Correct.
And if you can get that ESPN Plus on everything, that's the other problem, right? If you have like DirecTV, and that's the only way your TV's set up. Your TV's not set up for the internet.
Correct.
So then what do? You know, what if your internet's not strong enough to stream it?
Even with all that. But then, yeah, if your internet's not strong enough to stream it, you're fucked. That's for everything.
Yeah.
But
that's for a fight?
But now if you're 18 to 36, mm-hmm. $80, and let's say you're struggling to get by, $80 is a lot of money.
It's $80 for the whole year, though. The whole year of ESPN Plus and the fight. So
hold up.
Yeah.
It's not $80 for all the pay-per-views.
No.
No,
for ESPN Plus, a membership for a year.
Correct. But if you want to see the pay-per-views.
Right. Then
you got to pay $80.
Yeah. But
which
how much would a year cost of ESPN Plus?
60
bucks.
$5 a month.
For $79, you get the fight and a year of ESPN Plus.
Not pay-per-views.
Not pay-per-views.
No. And there's 10 pay-per-views.
You get all the fights, all the fight nights, every fight that, you know, that has happened. I wonder if you get the ESPN fights as well as the ESPN Plus fights.
Like, yes.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah, you yes. do. But yeah, the pay-per-views...
That, of course they would do that. Why
so,
wouldn't they
yeah.
do that?
Right. So if there's 10 pay-per-views and they're $80, that'd be another...
Well, the $80 was just for the one deal.
Just for the one.
But they can do it again, and they might have other deals. You might get to buy two for one there's in a the lot future. Of, who knows what they can do. Yeah.
There's a lot of content on there now, too, because they put the pay-per-views up there. They put a bunch of pay-per-views up there, like the older fights. Like Fight Pass-y. Fight Pass style.
On ESPN Plus?
Yeah, you can get
they put
ESPN
the old
Plus.
Fights on there?
Yeah. Yeah, you can watch some old fights.
UFC Fight Pass just over then.
I don't know.
What are you going to do with it?
There's other stuff on the Fight Pass that's not that you can't get on ESPN Plus. For
like,
instance, like
hey, make sure I'm right about that.
Eddie Bravo Jiu-Jitsu stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fight Pass is a lot of great shit. But they have Glory, too. Is
How
that,
dare
you guys. Is that, make sure that's true, though. That ESPN Plus has older pay per views.
I'm pulling my.
I don't
up
think
right
so,
now.
Joe.
Pretty sure it does.
Really?
Pretty sure that in the lead up to one of these fights.
Well, that you can click on it, but you can't go back and like say watch UFC 183.
You can't.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
No.
No.
I think they might only have.
That would be kind of cannibalizing.
Yeah.
Fight Pass.
The Fight Pass.
The ones that they've aired, maybe like they only have the stuff that was aired through ESPN, like. From now on, they'll have all that stuff. Like they're building their library from this point.
It must have been a pain in the ass, but I know Fight Pass. Well, like
what
was UFC 229? The Khabib Conor you can watch on here.
Oh, yeah. But so that does have
but only certain ones. Yeah, there's it. Only certain
197's on here also.
Mm.
And I don't see.
Okay, so it's
that.
Not all of them.
Yeah, it's just random.
But there's some. So
oh,
you're
weird.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's some, but it's not like Fight Pass where you can go through and see
so
all the
Fight
guys'
Pass,
fights.
You can see everything. You see every Pride fight. And I see Fight Pass for me is like I like throwing up some shit that I've never watched before, like some Muay Thai, like where you know just some dudes that I've never seen fight
really?
Before. Yeah, I love
have
doing
no
that.
No interest in that.
I like doing that when I work out for whatever reason.
Well, ESPN now though, but like on ESPN 2, those throw up like classic fights.
Yeah.
Like Max Holloway, Brian Ortega was on, Conor Nate Diaz too was on. Like I'll watch those when I'm working out. But again, with all this ESPN and buying this and $79.99, I've never been a dark web guy. And when I clicked on this, I'm like, dude, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then when I talk to the young like fans around, they're like, yeah, man, why would we pay $80? I'm like, I can't tell you. Because I used to always think you'd be fucking over the fighters.
Do you understand the tech knowledge behind it? Do you know how they would stop it? How do you stop a stream?
I have no clue.
From where I've watched, they can fight them, but you can't stop them.
Remember when they were suing people?
Yeah. My buddy got sued.
Really?
Yeah. He put on his gym.
Oh,
he put a pay-per-view on his gym.
Did
and
he make
came
people
after
play? Or pay?
No.
No?
No, he just had
it
on.
For free?
He paid the whatever the...
Who ratted him out?
I don't know. They can track the IP address and we're like, hold up, this is a gym? Well, you owe us this much money. Because you... And then they look at the capacity or this is how much it is to do that.
Wow.
So he paid just this, whatever, $69.99 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And went, hold up, you're doing it from a public gym and it fits 300? You owe us, whatever, 15 grand.
Oh, so he made the pay-per-view. So he paid for it. For
like on his laptop, but streamed
user.
It on a big thing.
Oh.
He got caught. They don't fuck around, man.
This is also for U.S. only. So for people that are outside the United States, the ESPN Plus thing doesn't. It's not for them. They still watch through Fight Pass or whatever.
Okay.
They can. They also get it on their regular networks.
Correct, correct. Yeah, they don't
like
have to
BTS,
pay
whatever. They don't have all that.
Yeah.
Like English fans were making fun of me when I was having problems. They're like, you fucking Americans. I'm like, yeah, man.
So in England, they could watch it for free?
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, they don't
and
have
Brazil.
Like they don't have a pay-per-view thing in England the way we have it here.
They do, but it's cheaper. Like when Joshua fights, like $19.99.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Why? Are we suckers? Like, what's going on? Is that what it is, Jamie?
I think so, yeah.
We're willing to pay for it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, man. If someone's fighting and it's a crazy fight and you got to pay $70 for the
HD. Think
how
many people bought Floyd Mayweather Pacquiao for $100.
Is that what it cost?
Yep.
$9.99.
They've never gotten cheaper from what I remember in my whole life. It's always been
it's
around
always been expensive.
$60 maybe.
Yeah. It seems like it's
everything.
Always yeah,
yeah.
It's always in the like $59.99, $69.99, something
it's
like that.
It's never like cheap.
No. It's not cheap. They're wild encounters.
Dude, right? I panicked, though. When I couldn't figure it out and I knew four of my favorite fighters, I panicked.
Yeah. Dude, listen, I love working for the UFC, but I used to fucking love watching, and I still love watching a good pay-per-view.
I love from the pay-per-view.
Comfort of my own home.
Nothing better, dude. Just
sitting down, kicking back,
the best. Watch
it all play out.
Listen, if I did watch it on the dark web, I'm saying I did.
Right.
But if I did, I did buy a Stylebender shirt to give back to the UFC.
That's good.
So you're still getting some money.
How much does Stylebender get out of that?
7 cents. I was thinking about just DMing him $80.
He should just start selling his own shirts. I think you can. I wonder if you can.
You can't. I don't think so, right?
You have to sell a deal. It has to be through Reebok. Yeah.
That would be insane if that's the truth.
I'm sure it is. Don't you think? Like, do you think fighters are, they must have some sort of a garment and apparel deal? Because they all have, like, Stylebender t-shirts. Like, everybody has you could buy a t-shirt with Yoel Romero.
But I bet you can still sell your own shirt.
You think so?
It seems that, like, an unknown fighter would be prevented from doing that would be a little strange to stop from trying to
build
their name.
That would be fucked up. But if you're Stylebender, Conor has his own gear.
Yeah.
Conor has his McGregor August shit.
What is that?
His own line of clothing.
Yeah, but that's like a...
It's not athletic gear.
Yeah, that's not athletic gear. That's David August. He's like, he makes suits. He makes the suits that I wear for the UFC.
You're right, bro. So can he... So as a fighter, you can't have your own shirt and slang it?
I don't think you can. I don't know.
That's insane.
I don't know. I'm not a businessman. I'm not sure. But I would think they have an apparel deal. That they would
with
have
Reebok.
Yeah. Like, I know that I Love You, that Yoel Romero shirt, which I almost wore today. I forgot to wear it.
That'd been hilarious, which you did.
Dope shirt.
Great shirt. Is it Reebok?
It's a Reebok shirt.
Do you see the Stylebender Reebok shirt?
No.
Fucking dope. It looks like the Matrix. He's all different colors. Shit was sick.
That fight was sick, man. He showed who the fuck he is in that fifth round. He showed who the fuck he is.
Great fight.
That was a great fight. But in that fifth round.
Favorite fight?
He went out there like a...
They
like
both a, like went out like monsters. Champion. Both
they
of
did.
Them.
They did both go out that way. Just Stylebender eventually got to him. That fifth and final round. Woo! And, you know, and that's what he said when I interviewed him, that he just felt like he was ready to just throw it all out
he
there.
He was talking to himself in that fifth round. He's saying something like, this is saying something to that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he decided to go out there and be a champion. You
dude,
know?
Think about if, let's say Francis becomes world champion, which is definitely a possibility. He's number two.
Yeah.
You got three African champions.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Well, if Daniel Cormier decides to retire and Francis keeps getting better. I mean, Francis has only been doing mixed martial arts for, what, 5 years?
4 months.
he's so powerful, man.
That's what I told him.
So powerful.
I told him, wait it out. Let DC do his thing, and you just go do your thing. Because he was kept saying, no, I want whatever gets me a title win. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's not fight DC. Let him go out, do his thing, then you go.
What that dude needs is a best friend who's a super heavyweight wrestler.
Correct.
That's what that dude needs. Just a best friend who's like, bro, I'm not going to hurt you.
He needs that Russian. You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he's one of them friendly.
But that guy's like 55.
No, I'm saying a guy like that.
You should watch a wrestling match with him because it was so preposterous. The way he would hoist guys up in the air. See if Google Karelin slams.
Dude, there's no
can't believe
way
you don't
that
know
guy's
about
clean.
Him.
No, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
When I saw him, I recognized
him. I had a picture of him on my Instagram said that I look at I used to have it in my favorites on my iPhone. I'd pull it up every now and then just to remind me of what a pussy I am.
Dude, that's
the black
so
and white
intense.
One him with him grabbing the guy and all the fucking the teeth and the muscles. He's such a
it's freak. Crazy like our American beat him. Rulon Garner beat him. He's all chunky.
Look at this. Look at this. Watch how he'd hoist guys up in the air.
Dude,
guys would be like, oh, please don't, sir.
That's embarrassing.
Watch this.
What the fuck?
Boom. He hit you. He's just using the ground.
Look at
watch
his
this.
Hips.
But look how devastating this is to you. Boom. He's driving you with all his fucking weight, all that momentum and power, and he's knocking you the fuck out, man.
Holy fuck. Powerful Reebok sweatshirt.
Yeah, look at that. Reebok, back in the day, was sponsoring Karelin. Dude, he was so ridiculously
dude, who's the little
big
boy
and strong.
Wrestling there?
That's all he has. Who the fuck's he going to fight?
Holy
another
fuck.
7 foot three guy?
It'd be nice.
What the fuck's he going to do?
Look at the Reebok shoes. Look at a fucking monster, man.
How tall was Karelin? I think he was like 6'9 or something like that. But just.
Didn't he? He wasn't undefeated for like ever For years?
He's only 6'3", it says. What? He says he's only 6'3". That seems weird. What? That doesn't seem
But he was undefeated forever.
Oh, man. He was a when he was fighting, I think he was 300-plus pounds. What does it say there?
285.
285. Okay.
He's 51 now.
God damn, that guy was a gorilla.
I wonder what he does now.
I think he works with wrestlers.
Holy fuck.
I think, you know, that whole Russian program, they probably have a very, very prestigious position.
Yeah, wasn't he undefeated forever to Rulon beat him?
Yeah, but again, the way he beat him, if you could please Google that, because I think Rulon Garter beat him, and this does count, but by getting him to separate his hands.
Yeah, I was looking that up. They had to do a video review, even of something that happened, and then Rulon was awarded the point, and then that made Karelin be extra aggressive.
And Rulon kind of ran, right? He had like a
54-inch chest. He said that was really hard for him to get his hands around in the first place.
So. Yeah, that's right. Rulon's a big fella.
Thick.
Remember when Rulon fought MMA?
Yes.
He was blasting people with a jab. That's right. He was like getting hit with the bottom of a dumpster.
Right. Then he lost his
dude, he was so big.
Then he went on a hike and got lost in Colorado and lost his toes and fingers.
No, I think he was snowboarding. Yeah, I think he was
snowmobiling.
I think he was snowmobiling and it broke down and he got frostbite. He lost toes. He lost at least one toe, and I think he kept fighting, man. I think he fought in Japan. I think they let him wear shoes.
Oh, that's right.
They let you wear wrestling shoes.
What's he do now?
I don't know. He was on The Biggest Loser.
Oh, that's
Remember?
Right.
That he had eaten a lot after he retired from fighting. Bro, What's he was up? So big. Country fed, son. Look at the size of that motherfucker. That was when he was on The Biggest Loser. He was 474.
That boy got some tits highs.
Yeah, but look at him in Pride. Go to Rulon Garter in Pride. When you see him in shape as an MMA fighter, you realize what a dangerous guy he was. He was an enormous man.
Everyone should be thinking they're lucky stars that Russian freak didn't decide to fight.
Look at him right there. Look at him in the far left. That picture. Dude, that was. Who did he fight there?
He ain't skinny.
That's. God damn it. That's the judo guy. Fuck. God damn it. I can't believe I can't remember his name. That guy was amazing.
Weren't they two Olympic medalists?
What does it say that is?
But I think they're both Olympic gold medalists, right?
Just go to Rulon Gardner's MMA Wikipedia.
Hideko Yoshida.
Oh, Yoshida. That's right. Exactly. Yoshida started out, he was a gold medalist in judo and was fighting with the gi on.
Yeah, because I remember that fight because they were saying they're both gold medalists.
I forgot about Yoshida. Another great fighter that was fighting during the Pride days. But here's the point. Rulon Garter was so much bigger than him, dude. Go back up and you see that photo of the two of them standing there right there. Jamie, the one. Yeah, that picture. That's how you get to just an understanding of the difference in size.
Rulon didn't have that many fights, though.
Dude, he was so big. He was smashing that dude with a jab, too. Like, he was beating him with a jab. Like, Yoshida was getting stunned by this giant heavyweight jab. And
shout out to Rulon Garter.
Yeah, I think I don't know if he really if that was his first love though. You know, I think he really loved wrestling.
He said he was burnt out of wrestling too, though.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that, and then he went to MMA. That's tough, man. After all the years of wrestling, especially at that international level,
how many of those guys do you think in the top echelon of amateur wrestling, if they just decided, you know what, fuck this, I'm going right into MMA right now. Like, how many of those guys would be a giant nightmare for everybody?
All of the above.
All of the above, right?
Think about Jordan Burroughs.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Kidding me?
With his athleticism?
Dude. And world-class experience.
And work ethic.
Yeah.
And just everything. The knowledge and, like, the mental fortitude it takes to become Jordan Burroughs.
Dude, that's why it's so crazy that Askren and him are going to go at it while Askren is in the middle of embarking on an MMA career.
Dude, what if Askren beat him? What if he takes him down?
That would be insane. Is that possible?
I don't know wrestling that well to the point where does Askren stand a chance? We're gonna get lit up on the internet for this, but does he even stand a chance?
I think
or is that
he does.
Crazy?
No, I think he does.
I don't think he'd take it if he didn't.
I don't think he would take it if he didn't either.
He's too smart.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see. I mean, I'm very curious.
I think so hard, dude.
You got, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
See if there's odds for it.
If there's odds?
Yeah, like...
Well, I would imagine Jordan Burroughs has got to be the favorite because...
You got to see how big it was or something.
Yeah, because Askren has been fighting MMA for so many years now with one, and then before that with Bellator. The Bellator one is such a weird situation because he was clearly dominant and clearly their champion, and they just let him go. you know. And I'm really excited about him and Masvidal, because if there's anybody that's going to be able to give him a really hard time by being sneaky and creative and using slick counter punches and having good wrestling takedown defense and good defense, and he wrestles with a lot of big guys, big powerful guys. He's a slick customer. That's a real interesting fight because he has such a giant advantage on the feet, especially coming off of the Darren Till fight. Him being able to knock out Darren Till like that, that's a giant statement. I mean, Darren Till is a legit expert striker. I mean, he's a lightning fast knockout puncher, knockout kicker, nasty Muay Thai skills, and to see Masvidal crack him like that and drop him. So it's like this is there's never been a better time. Like Shab and I were saying, to like fights. Mm-hmm. There's never been better. There's never been a better group of champions and contenders either. It's like everyone is at the top of the chain. So what were you pulling up right there?
I was trying to find out if there was odds on the fight or what's going on. It's a charity event, apparently. So I don't know that it. They're also fighting, but they're weighing in at 74 kilograms, which is 163.
Put that up so I can see it. It's
163?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So Ben's got to lose some weight. He could do that easy, though, I'm sure.
Doesn't say too much more about it, really.
It's at 163, apparently. The Jordan Burroughs-Ben Askren match. Brendan Shaw back from peeing.
Oh, man.
Holla at your boy. That's the best feeling in the world when you have to piss for a long
time.
Nothing
better, dude.
And you fucking...
Nothing better, bro.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Where can you watch it? Is that on?
I think it's a pay-per-view thing, right? Online? Is that what it is?
It might be online. Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't say?
I'll definitely pay for that.
FlowWrestling.com.
FlowWrestling.com.
I'm on the dark side.
Don't go.
No, I'm not going to. I'll definitely pay $80.
Imagine if you got sued. Imagine if they went after you.
This is allegedly.
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 Right.
I'm an ESPN Plus card holder.
Oh, there you go.
And I contribute.
Well, you should be able to legally stream. No one should say shit.
Why?
If you're a card holder. Oh, no, because it doesn't get for the pay-per-view.
Damn. I tried giving my money, dude. Damn.
That's a bold move on the UFC's part to go with ESPN Plus for all their pay-per-views. That's a bold move. I mean, that's like when Apple got rid of the CD tray.
Yeah. Like, what? It's a little shocking at first.
No more CDs?
But I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you're an ESPN employee now.
Congrats. It looks like it.
Congrats.
Well, I'm a independent contractor.
That's what the fighters say, too.
I am. I'm an independent contractor.
But to watch, you have to have ESPN.
Yes. I pay for it.
I love ESPN, so I grew up with ESPN.
Listen, man.
I think it's good for the sport. I think there's going to be these hiccups aren't great, but.
The future is in streaming. The future is in something on the internet.
100%.
It's as long as everyone. See, right now there's a lot of people out there that got fucked because they might have a nice TV, but it's not set up for the internet, and they couldn't set it up in time. So it's going to take a little bit of an adjustment period, you know, and eventually, you know, and some people don't want to have to go out and fucking buy something that's internet ready, like a TV that's internet ready. Like to watch it on your TV, if you've got a TV at home,
UFC,
and you got satellite, and you don't know how to fucking set up your TV for the internet.
UFC's not banking on those people. They're banking on the people who figure this shit out in the
right.
future.
But what I'm saying is, it's going to be a bit of a learning curve for a lot of people before they absolutely know this is how to do it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a bold move.
But you have to do it, whether it's now or in six years, you have to do it.
You don't want to do it in 6 years because then everybody already have done it.
Dude, I support the movement.
Yeah. You got to be there in 6 years. So 6 years down the line, everybody knows pay-per-view tonight on ESPN Plus. That's what they're going to say. They're going to say, dude, pay-per-view tonight on ESPN Plus.
I bet it's not ESPN Plus. I bet you in 6 years just ESPN. There won't be any Plus. I bet everything's digital.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Which is it's a good move.
It's funny because the only reason to have regular TV for a lot of people is live sports. Regular people, like a lot of people, like, look, you can get a whole fucking year of whatever TV show you want to watch on iTunes. Or you can watch Netflix.
But now YouTube has sports. Yeah.
Right. But remember how much it used to cost to get like cable? Like how much cable used to cost?
Yeah.
How much DirecTV used to cost? How much did it cost?
Well, I did have a Dish sponsor for like the last 8 years, and they're like, hey, buddy, no more. So I have to pay for it now. It's like $100-something a month now.
Now think of that in terms of what Netflix costs. What's Netflix? Like $10, $9 or something like
Didn't
that?
Didn't they just raise it to like 15?
And then you need an internet connection, and then that's it.
That's it.
And Apple TV.
YouTube, Apple.
Yeah. Or Amazon.
Because I don't have HBO, but I have HBO Now, so
and
I
Amazon
can watch.
Amazon Prime is even more interesting because if you have Amazon Prime for shopping, you get Amazon Prime for free, like the TV. You watch the TV shows. So you get to watch Mrs. Maisel. You get to watch. Do you ever watch the guys from Top Gear? Went over.
Oh, I love those guys.
They went over to the Grand Tour.
Yeah, they went over there because they fired them, and the other two guys went, fuck it, we're going with them.
Yes.
Tight move.
Well, Jeremy Clarkson got drunk and punched some dude, and so they fired him.
I guess he was different on set, but whatever.
Whatever. Guy's awesome.
He's the best.
He's hilarious.
The best.
Funny dude.
Man. Can't do a show without him.
And so apparently like they just ended that show, and he was crying. Like he cried, like that's how he teared up.
Oh, it's over.
How much it means to him. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think they committed to do like a couple of seasons.
They're paying him so much money.
I'm sure. Well, it's a good move.
Rightfully so.
That Bezos dude's burning money. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
He has so much money. Although his girl has half now. She's third on the list of richest.
Chaka chaka chaka. Yeah.
He has that dimey piece with him now, though.
Hulu's gotten that game too, for live stuff. So there's not. It's like everyone is playing the game.
Pretty soon it's going to be over. Yeah. Imagine if you're trying to shoot a sitcom right now.
Could you imagine if a guy got divorced from a woman who's like a duchess or some shit and made out in the deal as good as Jeff Bezos' wife is going to make out?
To be sick. Isn't she like $1 billion or something like that? She got way more than a billion.
She's going to get billions, son.
They said as soon as they divorce, she's going to be like top 10 richest in the world.
Yeah. He gave her like 25% of his stock or some crazy shit.
But they did start together in like his room.
Yes. Listen, man. Yeah, she deserves it. But it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
So much money. Like, damn, she banked on it correctly. She's hanging out with that dude when he was like 24 going, this fucking psycho.
Have you seen
that? He's going to run the world.
Have you seen that? Yes, that picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
That picture's amazing. Amazing. I want that. Send me that picture.
99.
Isn't that a great picture?
Do me a favor and send that to my phone. I need to see that picture.
Isn't that
on
great?
My phone. I'm gonna put that as my I'm gonna replace saver? The American flag with that.
Isn't that great?
I'm serious.
And he's like shaved his head, TRT,
bro,
tan,
come on, man.
Stylist, ballin'.
Just look at that banner on the wall. Look at the little
the
desk
spray
and
paint
shit.
Banner.
Look at him there.
Dude, and have you seen his new girl?
Yeah.
What's up? Holla. Sure, that caught you about $40 billion, but you gotta be happy.
Yeah, it looks like he's enjoying it.
Also, when you have $80 billion, what's 40? Who gives a fuck?
How much can you spend? And by
you
the
can't
way,
spend it.
Do you think he's gonna? Here's the problem with that dude. He might be making so much money that you think about it. Like, when did Amazon even start? Was it 15 years ago? I mean, what
a
year was
second
it?
Second ago.
Wasn't that long ago? What's gonna be like 15 years from now when he's on fucking gene doping and they got him? backdated to a 24-year-old Bezos. His chin looks thicker. He's got shoulder caps.
God.
Running. He's going to be 85 years old running shit, looking 30.
How much money do you need
He'll
if
have
you're that guy?
$1 billion dollars. Like, how much money? This is my point. Like, if he stays healthy and is enthusiastic and still has, like, this drive to succeed.
How much is he going to be worth?
When you start getting that kind of momentum, that's why companies like – that's why you get people like Elizabeth Warren. I don't know too much about her politics, but one of the things that I do know about her is she wants to shut down or break up some of these big companies. You know, there's a – yeah. I forget what big companies she was talking about, but that would be an example.
Like, yeah, just too much power.
So much power. Amazon. So much power. She would probably want to break them up. It's interesting because, like, you see, like, what is when you see capitalism play out, right? You see someone, they start a business, they want to kick ass, they want to make a lot of money, and then they do, and then they keep going, and then they get to this point where they can make more money more easily, more often, and they just keep going, and then they get to this point where if you hit the right river at the perfect time with the most ambitious person ever at the helm, and you got this fucking boat running down this river, just passing everybody. That's where you got Amazon with
Correct.
Jeff Bezos. It was the perfect guy at the perfect time with the perfect adjusting to the role of Scrooge McDuck. He's like, Elon wants to make a rocket shop. Get me a rocket ship.
Correct. It's an ego thing.
Why is he exploring space?
Isn't what else
he
gonna do though?
Yeah,
you have nothing to do. Like, what challenges does he have,
bro? That one click is the shit. If you need something, it's the shit.
Amazon.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's
the shit. The if you best. Need anything.
Anything.
Yeah. Just go fucking find it. Bang, boom. You don't have to think about it anymore. That, to me, that means a lot to me.
That means everything. Time. I can save time and hassle.
Thank you.
I don't have to leave my house.
Thank you.
She's actually the only third richest in the world. Damn. Third richest woman. They made a deal last month, or this month, actually, to give her $35
billion. That's it?
Woo! Yeah. Good for her.
And she keeps a 4% stake.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
Damn, 4%. She is balling.
She's balling.
4%, she's single?
Just 4% stake in Amazon.
Oh, my God.
Fucking insane. And where's it going? Where's it going? What's it going to be 10 years from now? What's it going to be 15 years from now? Jesus. And she's got $35
billion. Jesus.
$35 billion. I bet she went, all right. You know, I bet
listen, she's so I'll used to it.
$35 billion. You're not going to spend that.
She went, all right, cool.
Okay. Okay.
I mean,
right?
Do you need 35? Okay. But also, I think Jeff Bezos had a weird agreement with his new hot girl where they're not having sex until the divorce is final or some shit like that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, it's like some weird thing. That's what I mean. Dude, just bust nuts.
That's the story. They're staying away from each other till they...
Dude, what are you doing, Jeff?
Are divorced and married or something like that. Wow. She's getting divorced too, I guess.
Jesus.
Well, oh, yeah, she's getting divorced too.
If you want to live like a movie, you got to write a script like a movie script. Dude's already living like he's in a movie.
Let's yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you get married, make everybody dress up like priests or some shit. Do whatever you want to do.
God,
make everybody dress up like a
Kanye service.
Yeah, like one of those. Do whatever you want.
God, what do you do,
it's
man?
Falling out of control. What do you do?
What do you do?
Well,
what would you do?
You just do whatever the fuck he can do, whatever the fuck he wants to do. You're supposed to do whatever the fuck you want to do. There's only one Jeff Bezos.
I know, but you're at what point do you just stop kind of...
You fucking
keep going.
The foot on the gas.
Like, if you're The Rock, do you need to do 19 movies?
He needs to do 22 movies. Or
can we do three?
Movies.
Can we
last
do three?
Year, last year I did 19 movies. This year, 22. 22 movies.
He's going to do 22 movies 22 in a fucking movies. Year.
And I'm getting bigger, matter of fact.
Yeah, he'll be 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how many?
He's a gorilla, man. That dude's so jacked right now. He's so huge, too. When you meet him in real life, you're like, oh, my goodness.
He's so jacked.
He's so jacked. He's so inspirational, too, man. You know, he's...
But it's, you know how it is being busy? Like, how often is he home?
Dude, he's so inspirational. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard, man. It ain't easy.
Well, I know my schedule.
Yeah.
And I look at how often I'm home. I look at his.
That's a silverback.
Dude, his Under Armour shoes are dope, too. His workout shoes. Workout shoes are dope.
I love this fucking guy, man. I love the fact
that... I love him, too.
I can go to his Instagram at any time, and he's always super positive, and he's always super motivated and motivational, and he's always getting after it. I love it. He's always getting after it.
But I wonder what it is in him that you have to do this many movies.
I think when he was young, man, he was young. He fell upon hard times, and he never forgot, and that's who he is now. He also knows that he inspires people with that work ethic. Part of who he is not just the things that he accomplishes, but how he makes people feel. Like that guy, he's an inspirational person. I think the same thing you could say about Kevin Hart in a lot of ways, man.
Don't you think it's for selfish reasons too, though? Because you check those boxes. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but there's also this ego. Everyone has an ego that he has to fill.
Oh, dude.
Which he gets from these movies about, and red carpets. And
he talks about it. He talks about kicking ass. He talks about how everything's going great. You know, he talks about that whole getting after it. That whole aspect of it. Sure.
Yeah, but there's a getting after it.
Selfish.
For sure.
For sure. You have to be.
Yeah, you have to be.
For anybody who does anything really good like that, like, you got to be doing some of it for yourself. But he's also, what he's getting out of it is his, what he gets out of it, but what he gives out of it, it's not just entertaining with that guy. What's interesting is he's also super motivational, right? Like,
leads by example, which I appreciate.
Always really positive. Correct. Always. Now, before social media, when you had an action star, you just had the guy that you went to see in the movie, and you saw, like, you know, Sylvester Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terminator.
Yeah, they would do interviews.
You can't relate to him.
Yeah, it would be kind of interesting. But it wasn't this kind of thing. The Rock is The Rock, and he's also The Rock on social media. And he makes very good use of social media. Because he just talks right to the fucking camera. And you could tell, he knows what he wants to say, but he's speaking from the heart. He's just talking to people. Yes. Right. So he's interacting with people in a way. You know
who's done even better than this? Which The Rock might be the best, but on the other side of this, Will Smith.
He's fantastic.
Will Smith went, hold up, okay, so the movie's doing all right, but Instagram's the new shit? All right, let me focus on this. And it's, I mean, ridiculous how good he is on there.
Well, on YouTube as well. Remember when he did that fucking dance on the roof of that bridge? Yeah. Climbed up. What are you? Don't fall down, crazy. Will Smith. Don't fall down while you're dancing.
Kevin Hart's good at social media too, though.
No, he's phenomenal at it. He's one of the most inspirational guys I've ever talked to. Kevin?
Yeah.
Because
I liked his message.
And so positive. Yeah.
Super positive.
But genuine.
Genuine.
Like not a bullshit positive, not a fake show business positive.
Not a motivational show business positive.
He's got a healthy outlook. He does so many things, though. I got tired just listening to him talk about all his businesses. So much energy. He was talking about all his businesses. I was getting exhausted. I was like, how do you do that? How do you have the time? It's incredible. I mean, he must sleep. He said he only sleeps a few hours a night. But, I mean, he must be just from the moment he gets up, just fucking foot on the gas.
I wish I was one of those guys. I wish I was one of those guys who only needed 4 hours and could just do function at a high level. If I don't get 8, I'm fucked, man.
Do you – I don't think – But, I mean, do you really wish you were that guy, though, that, like, always hit the gas all day long?
Whoa. No, I'm saying I could get four Monday through Sunday. And then before my son gets up at 5, I'm up at 3. I get my workouts in. I can do all my research for my shows, and then I'm off and running.
Yeah.
I need 8, man.
Right.
Like, if I do a – if I do a set tomorrow night at the Comedy Store, I get home at midnight. No matter what, I'm up at 5:30 with my son, and then I go to work.
Right.
It's a beast of a day.
Yeah.
When there's certain guys, they just need 4 hours.
Yeah, those people are freaks.
You're not that guy, right?
No, I need 5 to feel okay, 6 to feel good. 6, I can work out normal. I could do anything. 7 makes me feel happy. 7 is nice. I wake up.
I'm 7. I'm a 7 guy.
Yeah. 7's good. 7's a solid number. If you could get that, you probably got most of your bases covered. But damn, if you get 8 or 9. That's when the real, if you could really sleep for 8 or 9, like engineer it. So don't, my problem is I drink too much water at night.
I gotta pee.
Yeah, it's so annoying, man. It's so stupid. And like I had a Zevia last night while I was watching Game of Thrones. I'm like, I shouldn't have this. Of course you did. I'm gonna have to pee.
Dude, I have a problem. I have to, it's so weird. I have to have beverages.
Yes, like, I wanna enjoy myself. When I'm at home, I have beverages. I'm at home.
Living life, bro. It's my
fucking TV.
Yeah,
you just wanna be able to sit back and slurp that Zevia.
Nothing better.
5 o'clock in the morning. God damn, I got to piss.
Do you ever sip on whiskey or anything at night with the wifey watching Game of Thrones?
No. I'll drink a little wine with dinner, but I don't drink whiskey at home very often. I drink whiskey when I'm looking to get fucked up.
Or before you do stand-up.
Yeah, I'll have a shot. Yeah.
Here's a problem. So if I become an alcoholic in 3 years, I'm blaming you. Because when we were doing that set, I think at the improv, you're like, you want a shot of whiskey? I'm like, I don't drink before shows, man. You're like, I'm telling you, it helps you with your nerves. So I was like, all right, this guy's been doing it forever. Let me try it. Did the shot. One of the best sets I've ever had. I don't know how long ago that was. 2 months ago? 3 months ago? Every time I do comedy now, I have a shot of whiskey.
Well, make sure you don't do that. Make sure.
Why not, purpose. Bro?
Well, because you don't want to become an alcoholic.
But so, one shot?
Hey, come on.
Come on.
Who's one
gonna,
shot?
Who's going to get hurt whistle one wet, shot bro?
Every day? Yeah, you could do it.
Yeah, I feel good. Because I work out the next morning. Hydrate.
One shot is not that bad for your body.
No.
It's not the best thing in the world. But it's not
that
bad.
It's living, though.
But it's a good amount to give you like a little... Just a little fuck it juice.
That's what it's like. Yeah, a little loosey goosey. It's not so uptight.
It's a fuck it, man.
Come on,
let's have some fun. Yeah, that's what whiskey's for, you know? That's why it's been around so long. You know, like that Buffalo Trace shit that we drank when we were doing the podcast?
That shit, man.
That stuff's from the 1700s.
Fucking right it is.
That fucking company was started in the 1700s. You know how ridiculous that is?
I was thinking about ordering some for my house because I like that whiskey so much. I'm like, I don't need that in my life.
Yeah,
because I'll just start drinking.
Become domestic.
I'm not an alcoholic, man.
It's good during Fight Companions.
That's yeah, I'm going to save it for that.
Yeah. I don't keep like whiskey at home. I don't find myself interested in drinking either. It.
Because if I want to get like a little tipsy, I want to be with my boys and yeah. fuck around. Like I don't.
I like it at a bar. I like it at a comedy club. I like it here. I love it during Fight Companions. My favorite. But it'd be like if I had like a man cave or guys came over and we played poker, we'd drink some whiskey.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But again, you're with your boys.
Yeah.
But I'm just chilling at home by myself.
Yeah. Might get drunk and say something inappropriate.
Yeah.
Get canceled in my own house.
Canceled.
It's a different kind of drunk too. Like whiskey drunk is like, Jesus Christ. Like you know, you get belligerent.
I don't need that. Too old for that. Too old for that.
You start having fun. You start playing Hank Williams Jr. songs real loud.
Just outlandish.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude. There's some fucking... You go into that deep country music. What were you just telling me about country music? That some giant country rap...
Yeah.
Oh, this is hilarious.
What is the song?
It's called Old Town Road.
Old Town Road?
Yeah.
Old Town Road.
One of the biggest songs out at the moment.
It's number one on the regular charts and the country charts, right?
Who put it together?
Lil Nas X, is that right?
Everyone's Lil X, Lil Nas, Lil Nas X. But so he was on the country charts. They took him off because like this isn't country, man. But then he linked up with Miley Cyrus's dad. What's his name?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
How dare you?
Yeah. So I think what also had to do with this is he used whether he did it or not, I don't know. But he used the video game Red Dead Redemption and some of the cool graphics, and then made a rap song. Country rap song. It's called Country Trap is what they're calling it. That's why it's a different thing. But it's catchy and it's based around this kind of stuff. It got hot. It caught the wave. Country, like the DJs on all the stations were like just ripping it off of YouTube and playing it.
Dude.
That's why it made it on the Billboard, and then Billboard was like, hey, this isn't a country song, take it off. And then because that almost it's like Streisand effect, it got bigger.
So who took it off?
Billboard did.
Why'd they take it off?
Because it doesn't, and their third description was that it doesn't meet the qualifications
for country?
To meet country or whatever.
Until Billy Ray Cyrus jumped on board. And then there's video of him and Billy Ray Cyrus in the studio.
You know, it's so interesting when you're looking at the footage of it, how cool that fucking game looks.
It's just a game.
That's a huge game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Red Redemption 2.
But what a great idea to rap over Red Dead smart. Redemption. That's a genius idea. That
think
shit
how big
is so
that
huge.
Game is. Yeah.
We played it in here. Jamie and I were playing it.
Good game?
Yeah.
You guys beat the shit out of me, whatever game we played last time.
That was quick.
That's fucked up.
You don't want to fuck with that game.
Dude.
We're just talking about it. Son. Tom Papa walked in. Jeff and I were battling to the death.
Tom Papa don't play.
No, he was just watching us. Going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Tom Papa's so funny, man. He just wants everything to be old school.
He's so
he wants
nice.
To go to the paper vendor and get a newspaper and bake his own bread.
I dig that.
What is this, Manson? What is that?
Like they've made a remix of it now with Billy Ray. This is like a real video now.
Oh, so they made a real video. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh,
see, cool. I'm not feeling the real video.
Dude, I like the way this dude dances with a cowboy hat on, though.
But he's become a star because of this. It's getting played at all the festivals all the last couple weeks. The crowds are loving it.
Dude, why didn't he open up at Coachella?
It was already booked. It's more along. This happened so quick.
You could sneak him in though with Billy Ray Cyrus. Let Billy Ray get his whistle wet at Coachella.
He might have played it, I'm sure. But like I saw that little, the Yodel kid was singing this song. Like he's even caught on to this song and all that kind of shit.
Do you know who Billy Ray Cyrus is? Do you know his big hit?
Oh, yeah. Don't break my heart. Isn't it weird? His daughter's way bigger.
He was really huge for a brief moment in time.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was never like what she is.
She's a cultural phenomenon. She can fucking sing too.
And she was on that crazy Disney hit forever.
Hannah Montana
forever. Which made no sense. I put a wig on. Nobody notices me.
Yeah, that is strange. I mean,
so ridiculous. It's
almost like Batman.
There he is. Look at that glorious locks.
God, looks like Theo's brother.
Yeah.
Just so a powerful
moment. Everybody was doing the achy breaky heart back then.
53 million.
I bet that must have fucking freaked him out, man. He was back then for that brief moment in time.
Don't you think it's weirder now to be famous? Like maybe. Back then you could get away with things and maybe. Now it's a nightmare.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember the Bill Hicks bit? Bill Hicks had a joke about Billy Ray Cyrus.
What'd he say?
It was terrible. He was so mean. He was saying that this is my last show. I'm not doing stand-up anymore because I got a TV show. He goes, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I worked hard forever, and now we're going to do a new television show. It's called Let's Hunt and Kill Billy Ray Cyrus.
Jesus Christ.
Chase him down. I forget what he... But he said, like, grab him by his faggy ponytail.
Jesus. And she was like, wow, it's intense.
It was ruthless. It was ruthless.
Because Billy Ray only had that one hit, right? He didn't have, like, multiple big hits.
Kind of it. Maybe
that
he
was
had,
kinda
like,
the shit.
One or two other songs that were kind of popular, but that song was gigantic.
It's interesting that his daughter's so big.
She's so talented, man. You ever heard that song, Malibu?
She's so good,
man. She's so good. Whew. Yeah. Can't tell people you like it, though. They get mad at you, like get mad at you when you're wearing those shoes.
And I don't give a fuck, dude. Wrecking Ball for Miley Cyrus, yeah, acoustic,
she's a beast, man.
Suck this
she's
dick.
A beast.
I'll listen to that and wear these shoes.
The best thing she ever did to me, like when I, the most impactful, so the first time I realized she could really sing, was that song Jolene.
Oh my God.
You ever heard
God,
her do Jolene?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Monster.
My God damn. Like there's some fucking pop.
Do you watch American
voice.
Idol at all?
What? Do I look like a girl?
You don't watch
the
any American
fuck
Idol?
What are you talking about,
you're
man?
You're talking Miley Ray Cyrus
man.
In Malibu,
I'm
bro.
A man.
I thought we were broing out yeah, over I'm music
not,
here.
I'm not watching American Idol. There's only
I
so
watch
much
the
time
fuck
in
out
this
of
life.
It, dude.
Which they did at the Grammys this year, but the American Idol.
Oh,
I know
sang
you're
it together, yeah.
That kid's awesome.
Yeah, you watch American Idol?
You fucking
only
right, I do.
Where do you have the time?
Only Sunday nights?
How do you have the time for that?
Sunday nights! My
jokes.
Night off, bro!
You could be writing
Sunday
jokes.
Sunday night.
You'd be playing Quake with us in here.
Playing Quake,
calm
bro.
Down. Have a little LAN party.
At least they're real. You know, at least they're real people singing.
What?
Your balls deep in Game of Thrones. They're dragons.
It's real.
Now, I love it as well.
It's real.
But I'm just saying, at least American Idol are people pursuing their dreams.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And they can sing.
Yeah.
A whole new world. Yeah, kind of.
I don't hate on the show. I'm happy it exists. I just, there's only so many hours in a day, son. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I hear you.
You know?
But at night when you're chilling?
Not me. I like to chill to fiction. That's what my favorite shit is.
Like what? Give me
like,
examples.
Like Game of Thrones type shit. Or like Mrs. Maisel or any show that I'm, Ozark. Any Stranger Things, any show that I'm really into. That's what I like to chill with. I like to follow like a storyline for years. I like that.
It's weird. I'm with you. When I get super, like I'm super into Game of Thrones. Like I watched all the old seasons leading up to this.
Yeah. No, it's dope, dude. That's just, it's just like a fun little escape where you're just locked into that. And to me, Paul Mooney said to me once a long time ago, he goes, if you really want to write, he goes, go get entertained first.
Mm.
And I said, like, how? What do you do? He goes, whatever. You go see some music. He goes, go to the movies. He goes, go be entertained. You're entertained, and then you're going to want to write.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was great advice that I never heard anybody say before, but it made sense. It's like, go get entertained, and like it'll fire you up, and then just take that fire and then just start creating.
Inspires you.
Yeah, it's a great piece of advice for young people, because I know there's been many times where I've seen someone like murder at the store where I couldn't wait to get home and write. I just couldn't wait to, you know? I just wanted to run home and bust out that fucking laptop and come on. What do we got in here? What do we got in that brain? Come on, there's something in there.
Do you listen to music when you drive?
Sometimes. Depends on if I'm on my way to the gig. If I'm on my way to the gig, almost always try to listen to last night's set or whatever new shit that I'm working on.
To go over it?
Just not just to go over it, but to examine it. See if there's any way that I want to stop and rewind and maybe slow it down or speed it up or do it different. If I don't take those extra, like say if I do four sets a week, but I listen to three sets a week, that's seven sets instead of four sets. And I think that's a difference, like a rep thing. But it's uncomfortable. Like you don't want to do it.
That's the worst.
It's annoying. But I think it counts almost as much as doing a set. It's not as much because doing a set, what happens is you get that spontaneity and you get the flow and you get the instinct, the feeling when it hit the punchline.
But in the car is a mental rep.
It's a mental rep, but it's also like a third-party examiner. Like it's almost like you could watch it from the outside. You could watch it as someone – well, I guess it would be second party. You'd watch it as someone watching you. And you go, huh, I don't like it. This is clunky. Why are you saying this like this? If you could just do that and say it like yourself, and say it like yourself, but then listen like you would listen to it too.
Yeah, as a fan almost.
Yeah.
And critique it.
Yeah, listen as a person who's also, you know, you do it. You practice it. So you know where the, but sometimes you get caught up in doing something a certain way, and it's hard to break out of the pattern of doing that bit to try to find a better way.
Yeah.
It's like you're comfortable with, like, oh God, I got to get into this bit. How do I get into it? And then you'll stumble into this one way, and then you keep doing it that way, when really the right way to do it is to kind of break it down and rebuild it.
Yep.
Like, you know where the funny parts are. Mm-hmm. Break it down. And I've done that a few times in broken bits where they never worked again. Sometimes it just, they don't bounce back, you know?
Yeah. You freaking, at the Ice House, man. Yeah, you did it. I mean, you fucking, you did that because you're getting ready for your 420 show, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the biggest crowd you've ever done?
Yeah. No. Air Canada Centre was bigger.
Air Canada Centre. Oh,
that's the Scotiabank Arena.
Fuck.
In Toronto.
Air Canada is that where?
That's where the UFC is.
That's right.
Yeah. It's the Scotiabank Arena now. It used to be the Air Canada Centre.
And how many
that's
was that?
That joint. That's like 13,000.
Were you on a stage, like Kevin Hart stage?
No. It was on like a regular stage.
Is San Diego Circular?
Right. Yeah, San Diego Circular.
God, I find it awkward, man. We're watching it, I find it awkward.
It's going to be weird, son. I mean, obviously you're going
to kill it, but I find it awkward.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I think Joey Diaz is doing 420 in Milwaukee.
Joey Diaz is the best. Can't get enough of that dude.
So happy. I love Joey.
So happy he's around. He's one of the most.
You know what he's doing right now, right? I don't think I can say it on air.
Don't say it then. Oh yeah, I do know. I don't think he can say it. No, I don't think he's announced it.
It's amazing, though.
Yeah. Can't say that.
But you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
He's the one of the most important figures in the stand-up world today, in my opinion. He's one of the most free guys. Like, in terms of, like, if you look at, if there was a style of say there's a style of jiu-jitsu, right, where one guy's just always catching triangles on people, super aggressive and always catching triangles. Like, how is this guy always catching? And it sort of changes your perception of how often someone can catch someone in a triangle. Joey is so fucking loose. He changes your perception of what's loose. Like, he moves the needle.
Yeah.
That's rare.
I think Bill Burr does that too.
He moves the needle too.
Like with Bill, and maybe it's because I'm around Brian, and Brian's always like, you know, you got to be careful if you say this stuff, especially in the culture society right now. You got to be careful with this. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. So I've started like almost reserved. Mm-hmm. And then Burr went up at the Laugh Factor. I was like, oh shit, you can do that.
Yeah, he's on fire right now. He just filmed. He just filmed some special.
Did he really?
Yeah. He's kind of come out with a, I don't know if I should say anything.
A while ago, though, right? Because the stuff he did now is all new.
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this. Did I give something away?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if that's been announced, so I'm going to shut my mouth. But either way, murderer.
Murder.
Yeah.
And like, no fucks given at all time. And no fucks given at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's he's uniquely free.
Like, he was making the comics in the back, like, and we were just watching, like, what the fuck?
He makes hilarious points, too. They're so bold. But that's what
he's so bold.
That's how he started.
Yeah.
He's just sticking with his guns. That's what he is.
That's who he is.
That's who he is.
Well, I think I see a lot of guys now get away from that because they're afraid of offending people.
Yep.
And then Burr gets up and he's like, shut the fuck up.
Well, people are taking comedy as much more of a statement than, like, if you wrote a movie where some fucked up things happen. Like, if you wrote a, and that's probably coming too, if they let people take comedy, they'll probably go after that next, it kind of falls in line with what could be next. But if you decide that someone's saying something, that they actually mean that, and they shouldn't be able to say that, even though it's funny and it made people laugh, and the guy's clearly joking, which is, that has been, especially when you try to use it in print, it's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. You're running up
a greased hill, because then why is Quentin Tarantino allowed to write a movie where a bunch of people get killed?
Yeah.
Why is he allowed to write a movie that might incite violence? Why is he allowed to write a movie where people use racial slurs and shoot people over nothing? Why is he allowed to write that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all Quentin Tarantino? So he's responsible for this whole movie. Fuck that. We got to boycott him. And that kind of nonsense is an episode of fucking South Park.
You think that's
coming? What's going on in this world.
I don't think it's – I think it's swaying back the other way.
It could sway back the other way, you got to realize we could take a little break and then have it come back hard again.
Maybe. Or the guys like Louis C.K. who's selling out everywhere and doing great comedy. Like, he can't – he could sell out fucking Staples Center right now multiple times in a row.
What's crazy is he doesn't want to.
Doesn't want to.
He's just doing comedy clubs. Just working. Yeah. He could easily come back like Tiger Woods.
Easily. Right now.
He said something so fucked up, too. Because they asked me why I did it. He goes, I like to jerk off and I don't want to be alone. I like to jerk off and I don't like to be alone. Like, oh. And then, you know.
He's great, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he also did some creepy shit.
But he definitely did.
He did some creepy shit. Yeah, I don't approve of it, but he didn't molest anyone.
I don't think we know exactly what happened either.
No, we don't. No. But all I do know is he could sell out Staples Center.
Yeah.
Because I think most guys and fans go, all right, man.
The other thing that...
And he's really good at comedy.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
The other thing that we always have to think about whenever we talk about anything is that we're dudes. And so whenever you're talking about someone jerking off in front of you, just imagine...
A woman jerking off in front of us?
No, you can't because that's not the same. Because it would... The only reason why a girl could jerk off in front of you and it's hilarious is because she can't rape you. Maybe. See, if a guy is jerking off in front of you, most guys are bigger and stronger than most women. Obviously, there's some variables there. But most guys are bigger and stronger, and men make all the rape. Women aren't out there raping dudes.
True.
Right? It's all men. So if a guy has his dick out and he's jerking off,
scary shit.
That's why it's scary.
It's creepy too.
Yeah. If you go over a girl's house and for whatever reason she goes, I want you to watch this. Sit down and fucking fuck. She starts fingering herself.
You're like,
whoa. Yeah. But you would laugh. You would laugh and you would come back to here and we would talk about it.
Well, because I know crying. I could get out at any time. Yeah.
Right. We'd be crying, laughing, but it wouldn't be like you were in danger. But if a guy is with, say if you have a daughter and your daughter weighs 110 pounds.
Different animal.
And she's with a guy and the guy wants to jerk off in front of her. Yeah. And he has to do it. And she says yes because she's scared.
Fuck.
Then it's like what would actually happen? And see, he hasn't really said anything other than the stories are true. And, you know.
This comes from a guy that sounds like, you know, because you have two daughters.
Yeah. Well, it's.
So you have to think like that.
Well, you have to think like that as a human being, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying to you, it's probably the first thing you think of because you have two daughters.
Right, but I don't think that's what he did. I think from, I can't say too much because I don't know, but I think he did some regrettable things, and I think he would admit that, but I don't think he did what a lot of people are claiming he did in terms of...
That's what I've heard.
How often he did it or who he did it or what the circumstances were, but it was either way, there's no defending when it was bad.
No, it's not good.
There's no defending.
I'm sure it scared the girls. You just
gotta say it's a terrible thing to do, but what's the punishment for that? You know, how much should the punishment
did he not pay for it? Yeah. He lost all his jobs, lost all his TV deals.
$35 million in a year of work. And people still were saying, no, but he's fine. I've heard that argument that he's fine. Like, what? These are also things that he did like more than a decade ago, right? When do you offer someone compassion? Like, when do you let someone explain themselves? When is it enough is enough? Or should he have to do something? Like, what would people like someone to do?
Well, I think they're mad because there's only a year, and then he's back and killing it because he's so good at comedy. Because, like, with Tiger Woods, right? People hated Tiger.
Well, there was that, but there was also the material that got leaked when he came back, so people were upset at the jokes, the Parkland joke.
And, yeah. Not the best.
That shit falls in line with how he's always done jokes, though.
That's always whether he did this or not.
He says the fucked up thing to say. It's part of what makes him really funny. And correct. He does that in real life, too. It's a style of comedy, man. I mean, it's just like a Quentin Tarantino has a style of making movies.
Mm-hmm.
His style of comedy is to say fucked up things. So that compounded the fact that people were upset at him that a year ago, you know, he said he was going to take some time off. I think it's really important to know that I don't know what happened, and you know, he knows and they know, and it's never good when someone's upset that you jerked off in front of them.
That's not a good time.
It's just never good for anybody.
But also, him losing $35 million and only being out a year, I think people are upset that it was such a quick turnaround. Like, if with TJ,
is that a quick turnaround, man? I mean,
not as a comic. But to the normal person, like a year, that ain't shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But as a comic, not to be able to do you love.
Let's imagine that he's going to live another 50 years, right? A year out of 50. It's like 2%, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And a lot of money.
Yeah.
But now compare this to TJ Dillashaw. 2 years. 2 years of, he's 31.
Yeah.
135er. Not a lot of fights left.
No.
2 years is almost a death sentence.
It might be.
Is that fair?
It's a good question. I mean, the real question is, would he have even been able to pursue that weight class? Like with what you were saying in terms of like having the advantage of the EPO.
Yeah.
Wonder if he would have been able to pursue training the same way.
In hindsight, what a terrible idea.
Well, you know, I don't know what the thought process was, but it's definitely not good. And it doesn't take away from how talented and skillful he is as a fighter. And if that's the only time he did it, it's kind of understandable.
That's what I'm given saying. What we were saying. Yeah.
Yeah. If that's the only time. But I think, honestly, all bullshit aside, I think you are right as far as don't test anybody else. Don't go back and test everybody.
No.
Unless you want to spend a lot of money. One of the things they were saying that, like, to test everyone for EPO would cost an additional $2.5 million a year. Something ridiculous like that. I might have made those numbers
up. Stop doing that. Divide that money amongst the fighters.
Ooh.
And give them the money.
How often do you test?
Don't care. Give the fighters more money. Okay. Like what Staubman and Kelvin did, and Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier, they should be set for quite some time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If we look over the history, and really our only testing pool would be Conor McGregor, who never has to fight again. Nate Diaz, I guess you could throw into that, who they make life-changing money. Right. They don't fight a lot, do they?
No, and here's the question.
Because if you give – I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. But let's say, you know, if you give certain fighters $20 million, they're like – you want me to do what now? And they don't fight.
Right.
So if you're Dana, you're like, listen, look at Conor, look at Nate Diaz. When they get this boatload of money, we can't get them to fight. They have power. The sport's too hard.
Right.
They won't do it.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I know. So to keep them hungry, we got to pay them this.
Yeah, but that's
it's so fucked up. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I'm saying if you're Dana, from his standpoint, you're like, when they get fat,
They really think that way? I don't think that's the case.
You don't?
I think it's a side effect of making boatloads of money, but I think they try to make boatloads of money because it doesn't happen very often. It only happens with a Ronda Rousey or a Conor McGregor or some gigantic, huge star like a Nate Diaz. You have to be a gigantic, huge star. Yeah, but that's rare. There's so few of those guys. There's so few of those. The idea that you would try to pay people less because you want to keep them hungry, because if they become giant superstars – and they're not hungry, then they stop fighting.
Then we're not paying more.
So
they have the capability.
So what you're saying is, pretend they're not giant superstars, even when they are. No,
the hold
giant superstars still get paid, but they also have crazy demands. They want to fight who they want to fight. They want to do it when they want to do it. You know, there's all sorts of jockeying going on back and forth. I mean, I don't know what happened with Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier, but they were supposed to fight.
Remember? They were supposed to fight, and Dustin got injured.
But so Nate was scheduled for a fight. And he's never pulled out of a fight that he's been scheduled for, as far as I can remember.
No, he was going to fight that fight. And then when it happened, they made other offers. He's just like, oh, I'm good.
Right. But let's imagine that if Dustin Poirier did not pull out of that fight, what if he did fight Nate Diaz? And what if Nate Diaz beat him? Then Nate Diaz could very well have fought Max Holloway
maybe.
On Saturday night.
Yes. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, if you paid him enough.
Maybe.
I'm sure he would.
They might have decided to make that shit happen, you know? And you know what? I bet it would have been – that was it. That was the face-off. I bet that would have been a very entertaining fight too.
Oh, my God. Max and Nate Diaz?
Well, both guys sign have me insane up. Cardio.
Fuck yes.
Insane volume striking. That would be an incredible fight, man. Fuck, that would be a great fight.
Great fight.
That would be a great fight. Yeah, Max and Nate would have been insane. But Max was going to fight Dustin Poirier. And, you know, he could be – look, that would be a big fight. Dustin Poirier, if he doesn't fight Khabib, if for whatever reason they decide to go with Nate over Khabib
– they're not.
They're going to do Khabib next.
Yeah. In September.
Well, maybe Khabib fights the winner – or the winner, rather, fights Nate. That could be possible, too, if he really still wants to get back
Ferguson,
in there.
Or Tony Ferguson, Nate.
Or Tony Ferguson. Yeah. God damn it, Gaethje's still in the mix. I mean, Gaethje, he's deep in the mix. That super knockout of Barboza, he's so excited. I think
he's number four now. He's right there.
How can you deny that? I mean, what a fucking division, man.
Amazing.
I mean, what a fucking division. It's crazy. How about that dude in 1FC that knocked out Alvarez?
I know.
Nasty Yukin. What a crazy name, too.
How about Nasty Mighty Mouse, though, getting the win?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Sage Northcutt to fight.
Yeah. No shit,
He has a tough
right?
fight, too.
He's fighting Cosmo Alexander.
Yeah, he has a tough fight.
Dude.
Cosmo's no punk.
That dude's a nasty Muay Thai fighter. That really guy nasty. Beat John Wayne Parr.
He's really, really good.
Yeah, he's built like an Adonis, too. That's going to be a best bod contest between those
first
two.
First team, all body.
Yeah, that's first team.
First team, both of them.
Dangerous fight for Sage Northcutt while they're standing. If he can't take it to the ground. I mean, Sage is a very good striker, and he's very fast, but Cosmo
world class.
He's something special. He's something special. Nasty, nasty Muay Thai, man.
Monster.
Yeah. Big guy, too. You know? He's jacked. He's thick.
Sage is such a nice kid.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be nicer.
Couldn't be nicer. It's almost fake.
Were you surprised that the UFC let him go?
No. I'm not surprised by anything UFC does. Not surprised. They don't need anyone.
I thought they were grooming him.
Me too, and put a lot of marketing behind him. They're like, all right, fuck it, we're good. Yeah. We're going to ESPN, we're good.
Well, so what do you think the future is going to be like? Do you think there's going to be that this is going to be how it is for like most sports? They're going to be watching on apps. You think they'll ever have that for like the NFL?
Oh, 100%. That's just the future.
The NFL
is just, yeah.
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 Like the last 2 years, Thursday night games have been on, or at least last year was on Twitter? Amazon Prime.
They were on Twitter, too.
Twitch for a little while. Mm-hmm. They were on Twitter last year. So they're doing all sorts of stuff. The NBA has talked about moving towards being maybe on Twitch. They've even talked about shortening their season or doing different stuff. They just had a big conference about that.
So the UFC made the smart move.
Yeah,
it's a smart move.
They're smart because they're getting out way ahead. That's what it is. I feel like once everyone's TV's hooked up to the internet, because right now it's not everyone.
No.
You know? It's a lot of people, but it's not everybody. It's going to be everybody.
For sure. Fine. Dude, I got to roll. I got to get to my kiddo.
6 p.m.
I know, man.
Brandon motherfucking Schaub. Thank you, man, for coming out. I love you too, brother. That was fun. Dude. Hey, we're doing a show together. When are we doing that show? That shit's sold out, though, right?
Sold out. Both of them sold out. I'm in Arizona, though, next week, Friday, Saturday.
Where you at, son?
Stand Up Live, dog. Phoenix, Arizona.
Beautiful.
Phoenix, Arizona. Stand Up Live. Then after that, Tampa.
TFATK.com.
TFATK.com.
TFATK. All right, brother. Good night.
See you
soon. Bye, everybody.